Always do sober what you do drunk, and I'll teach you to keep your mouth shut.
Hemingway said that.
Yes, he did. And he said it to me.
I don't want you to go to Canada tomorrow.
It's for the podcast. It's what I do.
I travel around and I interview weird or interesting people.
So look out, you crazy Canucks!
Wandering Wallace takes a raunchy road trip up to the Great White North.
Hello. I'm an old man who has enjoyed a long and storied life at sea. And after eons of oceanic adventure, I know I do not wish to spend my remaining years alone when I have such stories to share.
How far is Bifrost from here?
It's about 2 hours from here.
It's about 2 hours away.
I hate American guys.
Good evening.
It's nice to meet you.
Could I interest you in some tea?
So what happened after the boat sank?
I was alone. And then something very swift and frightening moved by me.
A walrus saved your life?
The walrus is far more evolved than any man I've ever known. Present company included.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Would you...
There. It'll be all right, Mr. Tuff.
He hasn't called me in 3 days. I'm worried.
Why are you doing this?
Are you really mourning your humanity? I don't understand. Who in the hell would want to be human?
In the cellar when it's gone.
Drink, drink, the glasses clink,
making tinkly music till the dawn is breaking.
Clang, clang, who cares a dang?
What's the difference when you're on a spree? Over the teeth, behind the gums, look out, stomach, here she comes.
I have another drink on me. Gurgle, 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 gurgle. Gurgle, 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 gurgle.
Pickle, 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 slice of cheese and bite a pickle doesn't even cost. Guess who's back? Back again. BFC's back. Back again. I don't know how that song goes.
Did great.
Hey, thanks.
And we're back again as well.
We are back again. Drunk film commentary.
Woo.
Coming at you. How are we doing on the drunk levels here?
I'm inebriated.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good.
He's level 1.5. All right.
I'm doing good.
Yeah. All right. I am your host. I am Jason. With me, returning again, we have Nadia. Hello, Nadia.
Hello. Good evening. How are you?
And Jolene over here.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about the 2014 film Tusk.
Horror film? Horror film.
I didn't say that, but I said 2014 film Tusk. That's written and directed by Kevin Smith.
Yay!
It stars Justin Long, Michael Parks, Haley Joel Osment, and Genesis Rodriguez. So, that ended perfectly, wasn't it?
It's impeccable, my friend. Impeccable.
You ruin it when you talk about the perfectness of it.
Oh, no. But if this is your first time listening to a drunk film commentary, we pick a movie and we talk about it. And, yeah. We get drunk, and what are we drinking tonight, girls?
Rolling Rock and some Royal Crown, and that was a little
Crown Royal.
Oh, Crown Royal. Yeah,
it was, you got it.
Booze that's Canadian, since the film is set in Canada.
Yes. That was a good pick. You brought the bottle.
Yes.
You brought a huge jug of Crown Royal.
It didn't come with a sack because it was too big.
It's too big for its sack.
It's too big for its sack. Oh, it does come with a convenient handle, though. So.
Yeah, it's a big jug handle size Crown Royal.
And so, in all my classiness, at the Dollar General today, I found Old School Jolt Cola.
Ooh.
And so we
mixed. They make that again.
They do. Wow. They do. It made a comeback. It's very retro. It's apparently Dollar General has a contract with Jolt for X amount of time. Anyway, so we benefit from this. And so we mixed the Jolt with the Crown Royal. And so we have Jolt Bombs.
You know, that was my gateway to cocaine.
Jolt.
Yes.
You're like, yeah. How can I feel so
alert? Cigarettes a gateway drug? No. It was Jolt that got me like, ooh, how can I feel like that? But even better. Woohoo! But tonight we're going to watch the movie Tusk, and we're going to ask the question, is man indeed a walrus at heart?
We're just making walrus noises at you.
This film came out September of 2014. Mm-hmm. Do you know how it came to be? Do you girls know the story?
It's based on
a podcast.
True story.
Yeah, well, a podcast.
A Kevin Smith podcast.
But yeah.
But no, a podcast came about, though, because somebody legit put a ad somewhere. It was
about
a fake ad.
Stories and, yeah. And being a walrus servant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Free and board.
With Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier, his producer, they do the podcast, and he has mentioned this story that was out of a website called Gumtree, which is used in the film, the word.
Okay.
And that's the name of like a Craigslist of the UK kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
And, it was
and Canada or just the UK?
No, this is from the UK where the story originally came from, was the UK area. And he got the story and found it somehow and read it on his podcast. Yeah, with Scott Mosier. And they started throwing this idea together that's kind of evolved. You can watch the show, and they actually go to it, and they talk about it for a good while, a good half hour or so. They talk about it. They go on to something else, and they kind of keep coming back to this walrus thing. They keep coming back. And we'll go through the movie, and we'll talk about it. A lot of the scenes were, like,
discussed in that.
Were made right
like
there.
Verbatim.
Yeah, right there. You can listen to the show right there. Yeah. It's from the Smodcast episode 259 called The Walrus and the Carpenter. Mm-hmm. And that was from June 24th, 2013. This came out September 2014.
Wow, that's
so a year
fast.
And 3 months later, it was in theaters.
Nice.
So he didn't fuck around. He was like, sure.
Didn't he like send it out to his fans like after the podcast? He's like, should we make this movie or whatever? Wasn't like people?
Well, after
on
at
it?
The end of that exact podcast, that one show, he told his fans to tweet out walrus yes or walrus no, and he got overwhelming.
Nate walrus yesed. He did. My husband walrus
okay.
yes.
He did. Yes.
He
okay.
Did. Yes.
I kind of like that it was very much fan driven that way a little bit. Like, well, if it wasn't like the demand for it, wouldn't have happened.
Well, it was just a stupid idea that they just came up with, or they took from this website, which later on being a hoax, and. Pretty cool. I mean, I guess it.
And it warped my fragile little mind.
I don't know what was more entertaining, watching Nadia during the movie or the movie itself.
So, yeah, we can talk about our first experience of this film. We all saw it together.
Together, yeah.
For my husband's birthday, we went to Gurnee Mills.
Which is about 40 mile drive or so.
We went over the state line. We live in Wisconsin. We went to Illinois for the good theater.
We're lucky we live between Milwaukee and Chicago, so there is.
It was quite convenient.
Most,
because it was limited theaters. It wasn't at every theater. We couldn't like see it in town.
We had to go to a specific Marcus Theater.
Yeah, a very small release.
Oh, we had to do a little survey afterwards too. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, should we play this more than a weekend? Like, let me know. It was kind of like that.
That
survey.
Was weird. That was the only time that ever happened to me.
About that.
Yeah, so did I.
Wow, Jillian, good catch.
Wow, they did survey us when we came out.
It was weird. Uh-huh. When we all enjoyed it. Like, I was crying, but we were happy.
I had to talk you into it. You were distraught a little bit afterwards. You're like, no.
Nadia, why'd you cry?
No, I have PTSD.
Well,
no. I guess we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
As we start talking about the opening scenes.
Can we try and get you crying during the show, maybe?
I do. I'm impassioned about many things. You never know where it'll take me.
So our first viewing was all, we had a pretty good time, I guess.
Together.
Oh, yeah.
So together with the significant others, it was
yeah, we had a group.
It was a triple date. Yeah.
Triple date. Yeah. That's the term.
Triple date.
Yeah, it was good times.
It's nice to like six people. to genuine, well, and myself included. five other people besides me. It's nice.
It's nice that you can be tolerable with six other people in the same room for a large amount of time.
We just have to talk to each other. That helps.
No. But anyways.
No, it was a good time, but this movie was based on that podcast, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, and that's and it even has the podcast in the
playing
show
in the
too.
Credits.
In the at the end of the credits. But we're gonna jump right into it, I guess. Let's get the movie started.
Giddy up.
And you know, it opens up with Wallace and Teddy. Wallace is Justin Long, and Teddy is Haley Joel Osment.
Haley Joel Osment, right off the bat, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we get
him. Saw dead people, and then we didn't fucking see him since. And now all of a sudden here
back.
He is, right? And he's chubby and adorable. Well, he was always blonde. but
they're doing a podcast,
right? Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like. Is it kind of eerie that we're doing a podcast about a movie that's doing a podcast?
So it was a podcast that became a movie, and now we're doing a podcast about that movie. It's like
fucking art, man.
Right?
That the movie started.
That's life imitating art, imitating life, imitating art.
Holy shit. Now we need someone to make a movie about our podcast.
And you can donate to Patreon. And support our cause.
Yeah, it was pretty cool that the whole podcast thing was the main theme throughout how they all get started. And they have the whole plot of...
We enjoy the new technologies.
Yeah. They're watching the Kill Bill kid.
Yes, right. That was his name.
The kid with the sword, flipping the sword around.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be like kind of like that the Jedi kid, seeing him.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Using the samurai sword.
Which is Michael Cera in Arrested Development. He's like a take on the Star Wars kid too.
Yeah,
that's they're both
George
like
Michael is this
basically. It's, yeah. it's a you know a middle teen or early like a 15-year-old alone in his garage with
testing
a lightsaber,
testing out his man ninja skills,
just having a good time.
But this kid cuts his leg off. Which pretty rough effects right there. That was a. That was kind of like,
cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, it had a good sound and like a good drop and a good, I mean, it had the effect that it needed to and then it cut.
Yeah, it did
its job. It knew that it wasn't that good, so it cut back then right away afterwards. You know, it didn't linger on it. It was just a split cut, so.
Well, I guess anytime we gotta be critical of this movie, we gotta ask ourselves just what is this movie? And it is. If someone asks, oh, you saw Tusk? What is that about? Nadia, give me one sentence. You would say, it's about a man who turns another man into a walrus.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's the general synopsis.
That's
but,
it. Right
I mean,
there. Boom.
But it's so much heavier than that.
Is it? Is it really?
It bums me out. We'll get into that. And how I need Lexapro after we watch this movie.
And Nadia cries every time.
I do.
And she's probably going to get her to cry here, but...
insensitive.
So they're running this podcast called the Nazi Party.
But N-O-T-S-E-E.
Yes.
Party.
Not the Nazi Party, which I'm sure this must get mixed up all the time. I'm guessing Kevin Smith just threw that away because he didn't want to use a good podcast title. Because he might want to use it for one of his own podcasts down the line.
He was saving the
So he's like, yeah. So he's like, this is a shitty one. This is fine.
Or it was just a really straight to the forward point of why the one guy travels and the other guy doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. Because Teddy stays home.
Maybe it was just to highlight his douchiness so you felt less bad about him and his demise.
Oh, yeah, because Justin Long was pretty douchey.
Oh, I've never hated him more.
Well, who can you like in this movie? That's a big question I'm going to ask you girls later on, so think about that while we talk. Who can you like?
Dude, that's a heavy-ass
you know?
Question.
So we'll
the
come back to
the two girls working the convenience store?
No. I hate teenagers just because they're young.
But so Wallace is going to see the Star Wars, or not Star Wars kid, the Kill Bill kid.
Right.
He's going to go see him.
The one-legged kid.
And,
in Canada.
Teddy's staying home, which is... Kevin Smith kind of said it's kind of reference to his buddy Walt, the guy from Cockpit Man.
He does not fly.
He doesn't fly. You know, he stays in New Jersey, doesn't like to go anywhere. So
I
Kevin Smith
kind
of gave him a little, you know, that's kind of a little tribute to him, I guess.
Yeah.
But then you also need a friend to stay home, otherwise the movie wouldn't, you know.
You know, who's going to fuck his girlfriend?
Hey, spoilers! Someone has watched this movie for the very first time while listening to DFC. You sorry-ass fucker.
That's not how you should.
That's not how we make friends. We're sorry. We're glad you joined us this evening, and we hope you enjoy the film.
crack a beer or drink. Six.
So Wallace is in Canada and right, just right. Quick. The movie like moves. Gets off to a quick start. You're like, boom, boom. He's already in Canada and we're going to the film. He goes to the customs and he deals with this character here.
Right.
At the customs desk.
Who's Ooh. Like, never tell a Canadian you don't like hockey.
No, no, don't tell that, eh?
He was legit serious. Like, oh, yeah. He was like, do not fuck around with hockey. Which we respect, because mutually here, everyone at DFC are, we're legit hockey fans.
Oh, yeah.
We are. It's the Midwest, it's cold as balls, we like to drink, and we like sports.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do embrace the Canadian culture, I think.
We do.
Our
we
group
do.
Of friends.
We do have a little of the blue, though. Because in the Great White North, they're red and white, but they're never bluey.
That's my line. I have that written down next on here. That's okay. But yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But I like how like nice and friendly
it was.
See
that flag there? See that flag there? Eh?
Never blue.
It's red, white, hey, but there's never blue. Yeah.
That's something that America's invented, sadness there.
Kevin Smith says if he's going to do his moose jaws, which he's been talking about for
a long time.
Which
is like Jaws, but with a moose,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah. Maybe. I want to see Abba drool.
I'll see
got
it.
Got soulless eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we'll have acid drool slowly disintegrates the body as it just carries it around.
But
okay, anyway.
But Kevin Smith said that if he does Moose Jaws, when he does Moose Jaws, what he said is that the guy who played the customs agent is going to be the star of Moose Jaws.
I liked him. Okay.
Yeah.
Who is he?
I don't have that
he
information in front of me.
He had really curly hair and a full beard, and he was fluffy. I was all thumbs up with him.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the dude. Yeah, yeah, that's the dude.
I can't say I knew him.
No, but I like that little tidbit character there.
But look at these movies that Kevin Smith does like to Canadians, and you ask, wonder, does he really like Canadians? Because he seems like he's really making fun of them a lot. Aww. Doesn't it? I mean,
but is it making fun of her as an homage? I don't think the Canadians are really that offended by his take.
I mean,
no, but look how
like,
he started
thanks
out.
Thanks for thinking of us, eh? You know, like.
Well, look how he started out, though. He started out making fun of Jersey, which he is Jersey.
Well,
what
what did he say? He was like, that's a misnomer or whatever. Canadians aren't nice. They're
optimistic.
Optimistic.
Oh yeah,
right.
That was a great line. Yeah.
And you know that's true though, because my mother was born in Canada. She's not nice.
Oh, fuck no, she is not nice.
But she is optimistic. She is. She's always climbing to the top, man. She's always
she's
working
optimistic
hard.
Optimistic for herself.
And she's super polite. She's super polite. She's grown.
She's Southern
she's
polite.
Super
she's
Canadian.
She's like, oh, bless your heart, nice.
All right, we digress. But been true though, I am.
She's
one step Canadian removed. I actually use that as an excuse, like when I'm at work and people are like, Nadia, you're so nice. I'm like, yeah, put on my fucking tombstone. And and I'm like, well, my mom was born in Canada and we're just so friendly people. And then people dismiss it. Oh, she's not weirdly nice, like serial
she's
killer
just
nice.
Canadian
she's
nice.
Just Canadian nice. And then they're less, you know, suspicious.
So you don't think Smith really... He doesn't have a problem
with
it.
I'm not offended.
You're not offended.
As a Canadian once removed, I am not offended.
If there's actually like real Canadian listeners out there, drop us a line at
let us know.
drunkfilmcommentary@yahoo.com.
Are you offended by Kevin Smith's take on Canadians?
Our name at yahoo.com.
Yahoo.
We're old enough to remember that commercial.
Oh my God.
Remember when that was a commercial? Remember when Yahoo needed commercials?
So Wallace is in Winnipeg.
Right.
Yes.
And he finds out the Kill Bill kid is dead.
He shows up at his house during the fucking funeral.
And his mom's just like bawling her eyes out.
Yeah, and they have like the wheelchair with
the
picture
photo,
and flowers.
Like
right
just
there.
Classic everything to make you feel like a human piece of shit.
And does Wallace feel bad that the kid killed himself because they were making fun of this video that they just found at a random laptop at a yard sale? No, he's like, this fucking kid, couldn't he wait 2 days
because
they came all
the
way out to Canada? Like, my whole trip's blown now. Fucking selfish prick. I think he does say selfish prick in there.
Yeah.
I think
Right. Wallace has a mustache, so you know he's a villain.
Well, what's up with that mustache?
Villains have mustaches. Seriously. It's a thing.
You know what? It was kind of nice seeing Justin Long play a prick because I've never really seen him play such a douche before.
I don't
he's usually
but at the same time, I end up feeling really bad for him.
What has we've seen him in.
He was in back in the day. He was in Jeepers Creepers. He got his eyeballs pulled out. So he started in horror. That was like one of his first films. Yeah.
He was in the Sam Raimi one, Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah, he was. He was the boyfriend, right?
He was in Dodgeball. He was in
Dodgeball. Yeah, that's the Ben Stiller.
He was in Waiting.
Waiting. That's the Ryan Reynolds.
I remember,
yeah, he was the straight kid.
He was the one that didn't want to become a manager. He was fucking there. Yeah.
He didn't want to become a manager either. He quit in lieu of becoming management at the place
because he was in all the advanced classes and he was just a smart straight guy to Ryan Reynolds shenanigans.
Yeah. And
yeah, he was the other main character.
Not the kid.
Not the kid that didn't.
He was the one going for the management position.
Yeah.
That didn't want it. Was just kind of offered to him. Yeah.
Honestly, there was a chick flick.
I liked him in Dodgeball.
What was that chick flick he was in, that he was in? Justin Long, like, sank in for me there. I can't remember the name of the chick flick, but in it, it was like, they were just friends, but then they weren't, and she wanted more, and he didn't, and then when she decided...
That's a lot of fucking chick flicks. You gotta
do a little,
more specific here.
And maybe Friends with Benefit. I don't know. I'll internets it.
Okay, interwebs it.
Justin Long? Wasn't he in, like, those I Love the 80s shit and stuff like that?
Was he?
I thought that was Michael Ian Black.
It was definitely Michael Ian Black.
I don't think he was in there.
I feel like Justin Long did yeah, I know he did Jeepers Creepers, and you said he did Waiting.
Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah, we know he was like the hacker kid.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Was he Dave?
Oh, Galaxy Quest. He was in Galaxy Quest.
I think that was his first film. I think that
was a fanboy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
Oh,
he was in Pineapple Express as a deleted scene. I'm sorry.
Oh, he was in Idiocracy, and we were just watching that in the bar yesterday too. He was like the doctor in Idiocracy. He's like, you don't have a barcode, man. You're undocumented.
Oh, he's been on a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
He's been on all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But this is like the first time where he's like a complete douche that I can remember him in.
He even, like, recommended growing that mustache and asked Kevin Smith about it. And Smith was like, sure, go for it. Do it.
Yeah. The movie I'm thinking of is called He's Just Not Into You. And it was based Justin Long. He's Just Not That.
It's
he's
some
just
kind
not
of romantic
into
comedy.
You.
Me?
Yeah. No, that's just the name of the film. And it's based off, like, a Sex in the City book thing or episode or something.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it now.
I never saw it.
Yeah, that was one where he like really sank home with me.
It seemed like too
much. And Drag Me to Hell when he was the boyfriend.
Drag Me to Hell was pretty good.
He does a really awesome job or a really shitty job of being a boyfriend.
That was a pretty decent movie.
I felt like
for Sam
Drag
Raimi
Me
doing
to
a PG-13
Hell.
Horror
yeah.
film.
Oh, that goat was terrifying. In Drag Me to Hell.
The old lady
that talking
and when, like,
goat
the juice,
that they were about
like,
to sacrifice.
Her dead body's like juices fell in the girl's mouth. Oh my god, when the corpse fell in. Right. But you know,
and then
I
the
did...
end with the whole quarter button switch and you're like, son of a bitch.
But I felt like there was like a very similar Tusk feel to Drag Me to Hell, because Drag Me to Hell was supposed to be a horror film, but it was kind
that
of a comedy
moments.
Horror.
Well,
yeah,
it was
like more
horror.
Of an homage of like
it was Sam Raimi style.
Yeah,
it was totally like Evil Dead style.
Yeah,
it was.
You were
right.
Scared,
it was more,
but also
it was
entertained.
More of like the B comedy horror movies from like the 80s and 90s. And
if you watch
like,
that after Army of Darkness, you're gonna go, "That's the same dude."
Yeah.
That
but it feels Tusk felt like had a very much similar fear to me. Feel
oh
like,
yeah, the,
where it was supposed to be horror, but it had a very comic feel.
Well, just
to
a little
it.
Crazy, taking yeah. you know, going the extra little step and just kind of.
I love
fun
that
stuff.
Though, and I appreciate that.
How horror should be,
so
yeah,
much. Yeah.
Cool. So Kill Bill, kid's dead. Wallace, which you noticed his name, Wallace. Does it sound like
Wallace
anything?
Wallace the Walrus?
Yeah.
Wallace.
Yeah, is that a little too perfect? I don't know. But he's looking for what he calls another Canadian weirdo.
Yeah.
He finds Canada painfully boring.
He does.
Yeah.
Here's Tusk trivia question number one. How much was his plane flight to Manitoba?
Wasn't that like $500 or just under $500?
Nadia, do you have an answer?
$775.
Julian, you are closer. It was $550.
Okay.
So, Nadia, you go pour shots, please.
You got it.
Yay!
All right, but he's in the bar. Pretty cool bar. He's in the bar.
H-bar.
H-bar, yeah.
H-bar.
Hockey theme.
What do you think? Is that what it stands for? H for hockey?
Yeah, there's like hockey sticks on the bar, like next to it. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they're like either really into their hockey up here. I'm in bar H, so okay. I just assumed.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
here's a little tidbit about Canada because I've been there. I've been to Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Yeah. You're gonna culturalize us right now.
So when a bar is actually able, like when any establishment is able to serve you license, they have a big neon sign that says licensed when they're able to serve you alcohol. It has to say licensed, or there is no booze. So it'd be like Hattrick's licensed, or you know, any restaurant or bar.
Okay.
Has to stick. It's a weird thing that the word licensed has to be blown up.
It's not that weird. When you go into a bar, their license has to be posted behind, like visible behind the bar. They're just saying that like it needs to be actually lit up so that they know.
It is. Oh.
Instead of just, you know, we have to post it. This way it's like, they're like, no, you actually have to light it up so somebody can't say, I didn't see the sign that's posted right there. I'm sure it's more like that. It's not that weird.
Where's the music coming from?
That's what I'm wondering. Is that you?
It's my laptop. Some sort of
I kept checking my
some sort of Peter Rabbit commercial just popped up. I apologize. I'm supposed to be pouring shots.
Yes, pour you're those. Supposed to pour shots.
Are you gonna do the Canadian whiskey? Right?
Sure. More? Sure. So
that's orange. Either rinse it out or get new ones.
So Joanne. Right.
Yes.
Wallace goes into the bathroom.
Yeah. While he's pissing.
You know, after talking to Teddy and saying that, it's Canada was painfully boring, and he's trying to find somebody to possibly interview to make it worth his time coming out there.
And he's just rude to everybody that he comes across.
He's kind of a dick, yeah. He's just a fucking dick.
He's very the stereotype American, how other countries view us. Like, just really about me,
but
I don't care.
American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You selfish, stupid American.
But he's going in there, he's taking his piss, and he sees this little picture, or like a little ad,
handwritten
thing.
Stories
to tell, he offers on there. He's like, well, let's see what that is. And he grabs it, and he calls the guy. He calls the guy, I think he leaves him a message, and then we find him later at the convenience store.
Can we talk about his name, too, though? His name is Howard Howe.
Howard Howe.
Yeah.
He's not really imaginative in any of his names. You have Wallace the Walrus. Now we have Howard Howe.
I think
it's very kind of Dr. Seuss-ish.
I think Wallace made a mistake in taking the entire flyer and not just one little tab with the phone number on it.
That's another, I think that was another very greedy American thing
he had the flyer.
He
took the whole fucking flyer.
Yeah. So now he can't get more of Walrus Got People, you know?
Maybe because the flyer was like,
so his selfishness was actually helping others is what you're saying.
This is where we first get our introduction just, you know, audibly. We don't see him, but we hear Mr. Michael Parks, who I think makes this movie 100%.
He does crazy so well.
He's reading the story of that this person, this homeowner, is looking for someone to come and, you know, pretty much rent the room for him, and doesn't say anything. It's very similar to the Gumtree ad that, you know, Kevin Smith originally read.
But a very more poetic.
Without the walrus part and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
It is very eloquently written, though. It's almost poetically how it rolls off the tongue.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, it's very nice.
He does a great job hiding the walrus sex.
But so he gets to the convenience store, and he meets the Colleens.
The Colleens.
Here's a shot for the Colleens. Hey. Pick up.
The Colleens who can't get off their phone.
So they are going to... Kevin Smith, this is his
daughter
and Johnny Depp's daughter.
Yeah, Harley Quinn.
And these girls star in his next movie after this one, Yoga Hosers.
Yoga Hosers.
Which did not make my top five.
Should we talk about Yoga Hosers for a second here?
Sure can.
Or should we wait until the...
Let's talk about mom.
We can talk about it now.
Because these girls aren't bad. They're okay.
They have the same job. They're the same characters.
But that fucking
yoga
movie's horrible, man.
It is.
It's not meant for.
It is no.
It's meant for the young.
I watched
people.
It once. I'm glad I watched it.
Do young people
you know
get
what?
It? I mean, I don't.
Hope
it doesn't
so.
Look like
I'm,
it.
I'm gonna say my favorite part of
what's
it.
What's after millennials? Whatever after millennials are, what we're dealing with now as adults.
Yeah.
That generation, it's for them.
But I mean, even when it starts off, they're doing "I'm the Man" and they're like missing half the band, but there's somebody's playing guitar, but there's no guitar player sitting there or something they're missing in there, and it's just like them just singing and a drummer. Like, who's playing bass? I hear bass.
They just have the track running in the background and they're lip-syncing over it.
They're supposed to be working, but they don't. They just want to do a girl band.
That's what the kids do.
Though I didn't, I enjoyed seeing
I don't even remember. What was the point?
As a sausage.
Oh yeah.
That was funny the first
time.
Two times.
Little sausage Hitler thing.
And I'm not gonna be mad at him. Like, I've done my movies. I can just make a movie that if my daughter wants to do a movie, why not? And her daughter's friend, so.
Well, and that's a great point you mentioned because that's kind of why he did Tuss. It's just like because he wanted to do a movie. He's like, they talked about this story. He's like, I want to see this as a movie. No one's going to make that movie for him, so he has to make it for him. In fact, he talked repeatedly when it first came out how he compared this one more to Clerks than any of his other ones. Because Clerks was made because he wanted to see a movie about people his age hanging out in a convenience store.
Yeah.
So he made it. And Tusk was being made because he wanted to see a man turn another man into a walrus.
Okay.
So he had a bunch of pride for this movie, and I think it's well deserved. I think it's a decent flick. I enjoy it.
Yeah. I love it.
Well, Yoga Hosers definitely is crap though.
They kind of knew it was crap with not releasing it in the theaters, going straight to instant stream.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is just going to be a stupid fucking movie that you're just supposed to be not really pay that much attention to. You're supposed to kind of get fucked up and have a couple stupid laughs or be like, what the fuck, why'd they do that kind of moments.
But the whole thing, they had Ralph Garman as the bad guy, the evil scientist guy, whatever it was.
And then he goes through all that.
I remember fries
being thrown, and I did think it was funny seeing Kevin Smith as a Nazi sausage.
Yeah. I rented it on demand as soon as I could, and then I saw it again when it came on Netflix. I tried watching it again. Okay. And it was tough a second time. It was, I'm sorry, it was not good. And I like that's my least favorite Kevin Smith movie of all of them.
Yeah.
And counting Jersey Girl. I mean, I saw part of Cop Out, and that was better.
But my husband was looking up some of the movies that Kevin Smith did because he thinks it would be like a funny or fun or a more dynamic to do a top worst instead of a top best.
Yeah.
But I guess, there was a Jay and Silent Bob do Degrassi movie that I have not seen or heard about.
That was a TV show.
Oh, it was just episode or?
It might have been a two or three episode arc, maybe.
Maybe a mini-series type thing.
Like an arc in the show, maybe.
Okay.
You know, like three episodes worth of the show might have been.
How horrible was it?
I don't know. I saw clips of it here and there. I watched the whole thing.
I didn't even, like, I had no idea there that was a thing.
You were talking about Ralph Garman. So Ralph Garman
in Yoga Hosers.
But he is in Tusk. He's Frank Garman, the Canadian police officer.
Yeah, we haven't got to that yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, he has dual roles.
We're here on page one.
Oh, that's on page four.
Well, we really even shouldn't be talking about him because we're just talking about he saw the ad, he took the whole thing, he took the whole note, called Howard Howe, and now he's going to the convenience store and saw the two girls.
Yeah.
He gets a big ass, drink gulp thing.
What do they call it there? Like, I called it a big gulp, but I don't know what that
is. It's a big gulp.
Jug-a-lug, something like that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Jug-a-lug? That sounds
good. And then
it's like a 44 ouncer.
But I did like that because he totally made fun of the cloak girls, like, get off your phone. Like, that wasn't irritating, but he made fun of them saying a boot. And I love that they held up the little combs for the mustache to make fun of him.
Did they do that in the beginning? No, I thought they did it only the second time.
No, they only did it the second time.
Yeah, we don't see that part yet. Okay.
But he was, sorry.
Well, I wasn't positive. I wanted to.
He still was a total douche of making some girl, random girl, like, turn over and write on her back while he's talking to.
Yeah.
Of how to get the direction.
In fact, the girl that played that part is a Kevin Smith's driver and joint roller, he called her.
Megan.
And I love that he does that. He's like, just friends and people that he knows.
I hate people.
Yeah.
What I kind of miss from his movies, that he did take this total turn in the style of movies with Red State and then Tusk. And,
I loved Red State, too.
And he took a big turn. I wish he would have kind of kept the people that he's kind of growing up with and kept around. Having different characters.
Right.
You know, but playing.
Matt Damon just got too big for
him.
Well,
yeah. But I mean, not him, but the other people.
Ben Affleck's doing, he's Batman. He's just too busy for Kevin.
What are you
saying? Yeah. Well, but I mean, I guess you can't blame the guy for trying to work with new people, but
right.
Yeah,
I think he did fine with Rosario Dawson.
Yeah. Yeah, she was great.
Like early 2000s.
Clerks 2. Yeah. It was 2006 or so, maybe.
Okay, mid-2000s.
Yeah. So Wallace arrives at the home of Mr. Howard Howe.
Wow.
Who is wheelchair-bound.
Yes, Pippi Hill.
Pippi Hill.
Is the name of the...
Is that a reference to... I don't know. Is that a reference to something? Pippi Hill? I hate that name.
Actually, it was originally called something else. Chapel Hill, maybe? It was the name of a football team in the area.
Okay.
And they didn't want to be associated with a football team because Cowsett doesn't give a fuck about football. Well, no, he just didn't want to say... People say, oh, did you put that in because of the football team? He didn't want people to say that because he didn't really give a fuck.
Ching.
So he changed it to Pippi Hill.
I kind of liked it, though.
Yeah.
You liked Pippi Hill?
I did. I didn't mind Pippi Hill.
It's a beautiful house.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, my... Yeah.
Do you... I'm skipping ahead again. Do you believe that he knew Ernest Hemingway? Do you believe his
stories?
We'll
get to that. We'll get to that. But if we meet Mr. Howard, he's right there. He meets him. He gets up. What's his name? Fucking Wallace walks right in.
Right. He knocks on the door and is like, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, kind of comes on
well,
in.
He before he entered the whole building, he said hello and he said, come on up here. And then his head was in and then his feet were in after he said, come on up here.
Does he know he's in the wheelchair? I don't think he knows that, does he?
No, he doesn't know that.
No, but it's Canada, though.
Right.
So everyone's in a wheelchair? Is that what you're saying?
No, nobody locks their doors because everybody's super nice.
Okay.
Optimistic.
Optimistic. They're not burglars. They're just potential new friends.
They just need a hot meal.
But then we get our first look at Howard Howe. And his glasses look strange. I never
paid attention to his glasses
at
all. Oh. Tell me, what did you see in his glasses?
I don't know, they just didn't really seem to fit his face. They seemed too small.
Oh, like he was faking his...
Oh, he probably had multiple pairs of glasses, maybe. I don't know.
They were a little, Unabomber-ish.
They seemed to just sit up, higher on his face. Yeah. They seemed to, sit up like that instead of, normal.
Disproportionate to his face. You didn't trust it?
Yeah, they look small and just kind of cramped.
Are you thinking, that's, more of, his, old, feeble old man, Prasad or something?
Yeah, possibly, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe. Because he wears them later on, too, though, so I don't know. Because he's wearing them later, even when they're fighting, he's wearing the glasses, so I'm not sure.
Swimming with them, he's not.
Well.
I don't think when he's fighting with them, I don't think he is.
They start talking a little bit. Wallace has to piss right away because of his big gulp.
Because of the big gulp.
He goes into the bathroom, and he's taking a leak, and he sees one of those, I call it TP art. Now, do you girls know what this is?
God. It's toilet paper art, yes.
It's that, macrame, half Barbie doll, half big dress that, hide the toilet paper roll.
Like a little cup that goes over,
it's
yeah.
A toilet
I've seen all different kinds of stuff,
cover,
though.
Or a Kleenex box
I think
cover.
I remember,
some kind of thing.
A grandma
flowers.
Or an aunt or something, being able to crochet those, and it's, a half-naked Barbie that sits,
We had one that had, flowers coming out
of it.
It
was watching him piss, though. It was creepy.
This was based on Kevin Smith's, an older Smodcast episode.
Oh.
When he talked about being at, one of his family's house as a kid, and they had something similar to that in the bathroom.
Yeah.
That was staring at him when he peed. So he would turn it around, because he'd kind of freak out, looking at it, turning around while he peed. And that was, this film is filled with all kinds of, little hints to other Kevin Smith things.
No.
Is that the dog?
Yeah, he's trying to get attention. I'm here, the cat's by you. Pet me.
Hi, I'm Nadia. I'm a pedaholic. I have two dogs and three cats, and they will interrupt this performance.
We're oh, by the way, we're filming live at the Ehlers County Zoo here.
The Ehlers County Zoo.
In Wisconsin. Where they have, how many, 25?
No, five.
Oh,
five.
Only five.
Three cats.
Okay.
Two of them are geriatric.
Animals on
Woody
the ground.
Was
two
in
dogs.
Front of my face, growl or meowing, and Rocket was getting really jealous. There's a cat by you. You can't give the cat attention without giving me attention.
So,
all right, dogs go away.
What do you say we take five?
Okay, sounds good. Sorry.
All right, we'll be right back.
Drinking with a purpose.
No more to drink. I had a cellar full, but now it's gone. Drink, drink, the glasses clink. Oh, like the anvil chorus, and my head is splitting. A breaky, a busty. Oh, brother. Oh, how? What do I do now? Pink elephants are running after me. Oh, that's the first one.
All right, we're back. We're back.
We're back.
We're back.
Again.
So Wallace is talking to Howard.
Wow.
And he's
Wallace the Walrus is talking to Howard Howe at Pippi Hill.
After his piss.
Yes, and he tells him what he does. He tells him he's a podcaster.
And he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand the concept of podcast.
He says, what the hell is that? Which I can say, as a podcaster, that this is something that I've been plagued with.
Nate, as someone who listens to podcasts, I always tell him it's talk radio from the internet.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it. It's like NPR.
But now it's on your phone.
But it's off the internet. Yeah.
You can find us easily on your Android or your Apple phone by just searching for drunk film commentary.
Those three words, and you could have access.
Oh, you'll find us. We have tons of movies on there. We've done a shitload of movies.
Fun movies.
We've been
doing
this for like 2-3 years now. So, yeah, some of them are...
Movies that you forgot about. Some of them.
But we go back, and then it's kind of funny that Kevin Smith, that we're doing this movie, because Kevin Smith's kind of the... reason that kind of got me to become a podcaster, because he's the one that kind of got me into it. He started it like 10 years ago or so.
Yeah.
And when he started talking about it on social media, probably MySpace back then, I was like, well, okay, I'll check it out. And I listened to his shows. I was like, all right, this is all right. And I found other ones like the NeoZazz Network. They do the Grady's, which is an 80s movie thing, which I pretty much took their exact formula. I was like, okay, I'm doing this, but we're getting drunk, and we can do any movie, not just from the 80s. Right. So that was my...
So it's kind of come full circle then, too. Right. Like, Cameron Smith kind of inspired you, and this movie is based on one of his podcasts.
And then the NeoZazz guys kind of inspired me that said, you know, you can do this, too. And I was like, sure, you know.
Get drunk.
Yeah. So my husband, I got some drunk my husband friends really, that like to talk. My husband really loves the Smodcast and the Fat Man on Batman. Where I like per diem, like the plus one per diem, which is when Kevin Smith talks, his wife is on the show.
That's they haven't done that in
forever. Yeah. But back in the when birthing started, of the Smodcast, though, that's the show I watch with Jen.
When they first started, he was doing like an every morning, he was doing like a morning show every day online. That's his first attempt.
You know,
and
that's
got a little smaller.
I have to tell you. So I feel like I have a relationship with Kevin Smith, and I don't mean to be a psycho, but.
Well, we do.
But because of his intimacy and how much he's put himself out there via podcast and how personal he's been, and then the live shows I've gone to and the autographs I've gotten, like yelling at Meg and yelling at them as they're getting on their tour bus, like, come on, let me hang out, you know. I feel I have like a false sense of intimacy with Kevin Smith. I feel like I grew up with him and I know him, and like he's not just like a guy on the internet, but he's like my buddy.
He knows.
He is. He knows who to avoid because he knows.
Don't let
my name is Nadia Ellers. I'm a nurse.
Nadia thinks she's my goddamn cousin.
We're friends. No, but I if he needed CPR, I got his back.
You know, I can see where you're coming from. Well,
you know, I have false sense of intimacy from the internet.
But you don't even listen to all the podcasts I listen to.
I listen to a couple select specific ones. Fat Man on Batman, depending on the movie that they're reviewing.
I listen to most. Know,
Spoilers. I watched Spoilers when it was on
Hulu. Oh, yeah. That was a great show. Yeah, that was a good
Spoilers,
show.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, yeah. And I've grown up with him, like, from pubescence. He's been there, like, 94.
I just think
over
how he
years,
carries,
yeah.
carries right. himself and how intimate he is with his fans. I think a lot of people.
Right. We have that false sense of intimacy.
Because, no, I just want to be his friend.
I know you,
like,
Kevin.
I would love to just hang out with him. I like,
you.
I love his work.
You know, I can see him kind of being a dick sometimes, though.
No?
Yeah, I guess.
Because he's going to get burnt out, right?
He's a little a control freak.
Who can't be a dick, though?
I think that's the thing. He's a little control freak.
I'm a dick.
I think he says he's loose on stuff, and I believe that he's probably as loose on
he's
certain things.
Mellow.
But certain things that he
isn't
wants.
Isn't everybody that way, though? Doesn't everybody have that like, one thing that is particular, is to irk them, that has
yes,
to be done
but
right?
But most of us don't get a choice and can't say, I don't want to do it that way. He's making his own movie and can say,
that's true.
I don't like that.
He's the man.
We're not doing it that way. We're doing it some other way. We can't say that in our jobs.
That's
you know,
true.
We just kind of sit there and go, I don't like this.
This sucks,
dumb.
But
whatever.
Tolerate.
You know? He can
so
say,
that just seems
no,
like it's
we're
a very
this.
Suggested part of his personality that we all have about
yeah.
to themselves.
I guess the moral of the story is, Kevin, I know you. Let's be
think
friends.
Of every boss that you've had.
Yeah, it does seem
a
like,
leader of a project manager.
Yeah, I still listen to Hollywood Babylon.
With Ralph Garman.
Yeah,
that's a great one.
Listen to the Fat Man on Batman. Listen to Edumacation, which is not so much. Jay and Silent Bob Get Older, it's kind of the same shit. Nate, but it's not
the
so
husband
bad.
Really likes that one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one movie we saw, what was it, Jay and Silent Bob, super groovy cartoon movie.
Oh, yeah, we saw that live.
That's
we saw
that live.
Yeah.
That was a good time.
Yeah, that was
fun. Almost got to be on stage, except that Jay couldn't pronounce my name. I watched him struggle and then put my name back in the hat and get someone else. Remember? Do you remember that?
No.
That's how it happened. That's how
is that how it happened?
And it is.
Okay.
Well, we were drinking.
Okay.
It was me. I know it was me.
I swear. He couldn't pronounce Nadia.
Well, I mean,
it wasn't a seven-syllable name. It was Nadia. You couldn't pronounce.
He couldn't. It's confusing. It's Russian.
Yeah, so this is kind of a cool movie because of podcasting, and we're doing a podcast. This movie's about it. This is the first time in our...
And it's a horror. It's a little out of his genre norm.
Yeah, it's the first time in our show that we're tackling a show about a podcast. So I guess we're stepping
in. Their podcast was pretty cool. Like, the sequences that showed their actual podcast. It
was that he was being a dick to...
To Haley Joel Osment?
Well, no, to viral videos.
The Kill Bill kid.
But everybody does that. Tosh.0 does that. He's basically the Tosh.0 podcast.
No, it's his home premise.
You think so?
It's like he goes and travels and sees things that are out of their norm that they can usually make fun of, but it's something that they're not familiar with, and he has to come back and report it to his friend because he doesn't like travel.
And he has to be pretty mean to it because... He says later on he can't bring her along because he can't be really cruel to them when she's around. So he has to be
a
real fucking
dick. He's a dick.
Yeah. And he is a total
dick.
But
is that just a ploy though? Because he also says that he doesn't bring her around because it's Haley Joel Osment gets like super jealous and doesn't think that I could be creative.
That's
a lie. He blames his friend. Really, it's just a ploy for him to go fuck other pussy.
I think he tells her one thing and the other thing. I think, you know.
I think it's, he just tells whatever people want to hear to fit his own personal agenda.
But does that make you feel like he deserves to become a walrus?
But and Jolene, doesn't everybody in this movie do that?
Everybody?
Though?
Who? Just do whatever that fits their own personal agenda.
Well, I mean,
yes,
Allie does,
you know what,
come back. Allie and Teddy do try to save
he
Teddy.
Does it. I guess he does it the most crass, the one, the most emotionless. The one that is like, I don't care about feelings or whatever. It's just the most Ed about it.
Yeah.
You're in, you know, the instant gratification of it, the absolutely no consequences or recourses or what you're doing to other people.
Yeah.
Like, she, at least his girlfriend, like, yeah, I know I'm fucking you. She has this whole crying scene of justifying why it's bad fucking his best friend, but it's still okay to fuck you. So, to where she's got some kind of emotion.
Yeah,
blue balls.
Can you respect her? Because she's...
No, not really. You
know, we'll get to that a little bit. We're getting to that. Yeah, but... Okay, so we're at the...
But it does show that you're thinking with more than just your genitals. A little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
We're proud of you.
Who?
You and your wiener.
Me and my wiener?
Yeah. We're thinking beyond your genitals.
Ari, come on now.
But so we get the flashback of the podcast of them doing the show, which is what I mentioned like an hour ago.
Yeah. It was like 10 minutes ago.
But he calls his show Real and Raunchy.
And Real Raunchy.
And Real Raunchy, exactly, yes. And he kind of like has this reputation that what he has to do.
Because he makes money being an asshole, kind of like the Johnny Rotten
he gets
whatever.
Theoretical internet dollars.
And his girlfriend just wants the guy that cried at the end of Old Yeller.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It's a good synopsis of what happened there.
But I loved how she brought it up to him. She was totally blowing him, then gave him blue balls and be like, hey, and then just stopped.
Feelings.
Oh,
there's some
feelings
we'll
get
in the
to that.
Middle
we'll
of your
get to,
blue
we're
ball.
Getting to that. That's coming up. Let's stick to how we're going here. He is getting drinking tea.
And
Wallace.
Being told these
Wallace
amazing stories by Howard
stories.
Howe.
Okay.
And he finds out there is some brandy, I believe, mixing with the tea leaves.
The
brandy?
The tea leaves are like soaked in brandy before they're steamed.
And he says our first reference to alcohol in the show, which is can't lose with booze. So everybody drank. Cheers. Can't lose
well,
with
that's
booze.
What he said it was, but it was something more than just brandy, we found out a little bit later.
Yeah, because he starts getting very sleepy.
Yeah. He's telling them this story about this bottle of booze that was from...
Ernest Hemingway. On a boat. D-Day.
And he says this like petrified bone. It was a walrus dick, and he takes it up, and he holds it, and...
It's coming up. Yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah.
But
this is all while
they're
drinking tea.
Yeah, he talks about Operation D-Day, which was Operation Neptune, and how they kept Ernest Hemingway on
the
boat. Which is
precious
true.
Cargo.
Yeah.
That is true that the Navy did that.
Really?
Yeah. They kept Ernest Hemingway off away from the fucking battle and kept him on the boat to keep him safe because he was like a VIP kind of soldier.
Like when Elvis went to war?
I'm sure. Right. I'm sure it was very, I'm sure it was very
really
similar.
I really love the dynamic of while he's telling the stories of how poetic Howard Howe is and how cross, like just how brass, the other Justin Long is. He's like, no, fuck, really? Like, I knew somebody that's like, she was horrible. You're great. And
yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
He's a very poetic and a very captivating and draws you in. It's almost like theater, how he's speaking
it's
of these
horrifying.
Stories.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
It's horrifying.
Very much.
And he's just very crass.
And
like,
Michael
that's
Parks.
That's fucking awesome, really?
Michael Parks nails this shit.
He does.
Oh my, yeah.
Much like his monologues in Red State.
Yes, Red, yeah.
He does crazy so well.
Oh,
he's captivating.
I am petrified of that man.
If you don't know, we lost him last year, 2017. He died around May or something like that, sometime mid-year. But yeah, we lost Michael Parks. Yeah, he's also known from Dusk Till Dawn, is what I usually mention. He's in the opening scene. He's one of the cops.
He is.
Does that long monologue along with the cashier.
And uses the pisser in Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
That's the first time we met him. That's really the first time we met him.
Yeah, and he's in a couple other Tarantino films. He's in the Kill Bill movies.
He is.
Amazing
the,
talent.
The Planet Terror movie.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing the same role as from Dusk Till Dawn.
Really? He's the same cop?
I think he's supposed to be the same cop. Nice. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool.
Just like amazing how we can, like, completely dive into a character and do, like, one scene shots
horrifying.
Of, like, minutes, like, 10, 15 minutes of
Michael,
eloquent
Michael
monologue.
Michael Parks has
and
literally left
it.
Me in tears multiple times in my life.
Oh, he's so good. She deserves so much more.
It's a testament.
He had a great career, though, because he was around. He started working when he was 20.
He was a singer, too. Yeah.
Was he a singer?
Yeah, he has apparently.
Well, his film career has got to be like,
oh,
like 100 or 200
songwriter
film credits
as well.
Or something.
Oh, he's got time. Well, a lot of TV stuff he did. Yeah.
Minor things, but he was just always there.
Yeah. My husband always says, he's like, that's how you know, like, a career. Like, have, like, 100 to 200 things and, like, nobody really still know you that well. You know what I mean? Just have that kind of... Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's like a character actor. That's kind of what the divine one is. That's what it is. And those are
and
usually the best ones. Yeah.
Fucking
you know?
Horrifying as Howard Howe.
Oh, I mean, could anyone else have played it?
No.
No,
not,
I don't
not
think
the
so.
Way he did.
No.
Not with the...
I mean, you think
not
other,
with
like,
the creepiness and the eloquence, the beauty,
the
horror
and the beauty.
Oh, he was
very charming. And but I was also petrified.
If you think someone else that Smith worked with about that age that could have done it, I mean, could have Carlin? Carlin's a little too.
No.
Oh, he's been.
He could have been that evil. I don't think he could have been that scary.
Not that charming.
Carlin's too nice. Yeah. Who else is that age? The guy in Clerks that jerked off in the bathroom.
Who died?
Yeah, that guy. Well, he didn't die in real life. He's
right.
Still
but
alive.
The character
just
died.
Do you
died
think he could have played, Howard Howe?
No. You would make Brian Johnson Howard Howe.
No, he was not old enough.
You know, there's only one other person that I can think can maybe play him, but he's been deceased too long.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of Robin Williams.
Oh, wow.
Because he can get real deep, but he can get so emotional and like so... Have you seen one other... Like, he can...
One hour photo?
Some of his creepy... Yeah. Yeah.
World's
just for how
dad.
Intimate he can get, but the really creepy on the same
Centennial Man.
I think that's the only, really, only other person that's coming to mind, and I'm really drunk right now, though. So.
A lens scared the fuck out of me.
But it intrigued you. Oh, that name intrigued you, though, when
you
I said
wish
it.
For anything but more wishes, Jason.
yeah,
anyways.
You know what, I think, if we're looking at anyone else that could do it besides Michael Parks, I think Robin Williams is a good option, I suppose.
But he's been...
I mean, better than what I said. I said the guy who jerked off the bathroom, so, you know.
I've got nobody. I'm just scared.
But he's also, I mean,
but
no longer
when,
with us.
This is when Mr. Howard Howe provides some good advice to Mr. Wallace. He says, only do sober what you do drunk. It will teach you to keep your mouth shut.
I've learned nothing.
And this is when Wallace finds the walrus cock on the wall.
Yeah.
Right.
And the baculum.
Right. This because every animal on the planet has a baculum except the human.
Not every animal.
Yeah.
Is
that, animal.
Is that
a lot
true?
Of animals.
That's what he said in the movie.
Oh, well, you're a nurse.
A lot.
I don't know. I don't need zoology to be a nurse. All I need to know is about your cock, and it does not have that.
My problem. Cock?
Well,
what?
Human. A cow has a piston.
Human cock.
That's more
okay.
of like
human cock.
There's other mammals
human
that have it's more
not
of.
Have that bone. That's all that you need to specify. Yeah. Other, it's because they kind of it's forced
into. You have a lot of happy wives if they did.
There's a lot of rape in the animal kingdom, and you need to be able to penetrate and then lock.
Right. Well, because you might as well. Why not? What else you gotta do?
Your dick it's not like you're gonna go to prison.
It's like you have to worry about getting it up. He's like, well, I got this fucking stick.
I have this bone.
It's a stick hanging out of me.
I feel like I should have
around it.
I feel like I should have worn my necklace that was like 5 raccoon dick bones.
So for Christmas. Jolene gave me this beautiful necklace. It's my birthday and Christmas combined because my birthday is December 21st.
No, that was actually your birthday, and then the Popples was your Christmas with Nate.
So the necklace.
It's a dick and claw necklace.
Right. She didn't know what the bone was. She didn't know the bone was a dick. It was and Nate pretty, and I were like.
It's very eloquent.
We're pretty sure from our time on watching television.
It's sparkly and pretty too.
It's a beautiful necklace. It's got, like a flint or like an arrowhead.
It's a sparkly stone.
Yeah. And then it's got some claws.
And some beads. It's a dick and claw.
It's a beautiful bone when you wouldn't know that this bone was a bone of its own.
It's one in the middle. Some claws.
It's a raccoon dick. It's a gorgeous it's
beautiful.
Necklace. It's beautiful.
It's very empowering when you wear it.
We'll put together a gorgeous dick raccoon necklace.
But she's selling them on Etsy. The raccoon dick is nothing in comparison to the walrus dick.
That's true. The walrus dick is a two-fister. Like he has to use
like
two hands to take it off the wall. Where this raccoon dick was just minuscule.
But this one, Henry starts telling him a little bit more about his walrus story. And how he kind of doesn't tell him everything yet, but he kind of starts to kind of get into it.
Right.
Kind of saving himself.
Friendship is rare. Do you know what I'm saying? Friendship is rare.
And were you guys kind of surprised that Wallace's character knows Hemingway and knows Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner?
No.
Nah. We assume that he's a college graduate who chose to make a podcast.
I'm a college graduate who chose to make a podcast. I don't know fucking Hemingway. I don't know Coleridge.
Okay.
Because there's inklings throughout the movie that he's been a recent douche, not a born douche.
Trivia question for Tusk. Who is the author of Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner?
Iron Maiden.
Jesus.
I'll give you half a point for that. But
Iron Maiden does a song called
Rhyme of course, Ancient yeah. Well, that's where you heard. But no, it's
Odysseus?
A poem. It's
yeah. Wait.
That's a good guess. No, but I just said it. It was Samuel Taylor Coleridge.
Okay. Coleridge?
Yeah, I just said it like 30 seconds ago.
So, speaking with Odysseus.
I literally said Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner by Coolidge. Right. Who wrote Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner?
Iron Maiden.
He hasn't even passed out from the spider yet, guys.
He hasn't.
Yes. So, yes, he's getting sleepy. There we are. We're right here.
Okay, so this is where... Okay, this is where the twist happens, right?
Is it the twist? He starts getting sleepy.
These guys, like, yawning, and he's being captivated by Howard Howe's stories. Howard Howe's, like, appeasing him, be like, I kind of like your crossness, but, like, you're, you know, a dick, too.
He has no problem potentially murdering and dissecting him.
And he just falls over while drinking tea. Nadia's really distraught because
she
works.
I'm distraught. Okay. So,
you're distraught already?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay. I work in healthcare, right? And many of my previous years in healthcare before I became a nurse, I was a home
health
aide.
She drinks tea with a lot
of
strangers.
Old people in wheelchairs give me tea on a regular basis. So this was fucking horrifying me. I was like thanking Jeebus and Crom and everybody. Buddha, whoever was listening, I was thanking them all that I never drank tea that turned me into a walrus because it was
We're leaving the theater. I'm like, I love the movie. She's like, oh my God, I'm trying to. She's like, you don't know how much tea I've drinking at strangers' houses.
Sorry.
Like, you don't know.
I was traumatized.
No, well, and the funny thing is that this is the second movie in a row where Kevin Smith does the drug drink.
Something in your drink?
Yeah, see, that's how he gets the guys in Red State.
Oh, yeah.
They meet the chicks.
I forgot.
Give them the beer, drugged up, they pass out, bring them, yeah.
Well, I mean,
you don't suspect beer.
And he actually, he did mention this in something that I listened to where he admitted to it. He's like, this is part two of my getting kids drugged up trilogy. I'm going to try to teach kids not to drink something that people hands them.
You don't open that beer yourself, kids.
Yeah,
don't drink it.
Only take drugs you're familiar with.
Right. Yeah. You buy the drugs. Don't take strange drugs.
Wonderful advice. Wonderful advice.
Yeah.
So he passes out and he wakes up.
When he passes out, this is when
bright arid room.
when he passes out, this is when Michael Parks goes, "It'll be all right, Mr. Tusk." And this one, you know, some shit's gonna be going down. It's like
shit just got real.
I mean,
real.
Him passing out, it's not really. It's pretty predictable. You kind of think it's,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's more predictable if you listen to the podcast. This is one of the initial points where they had this part of the story already down that day, of him passing, you know, bringing him over to the house, drugging him out, which is a kind of a typical
movie
trope, I guess you'd call it, right?
Right.
Of, you know.
Movie or story.
We drug you, you wake up sometime later.
Yeah, it's been
done.
That's
pretty classic.
A lot. Yeah. You know.
Saw any number
of
movies.
Easy ways to, you know, to incapacitate you without...
You take a nap, you wake up later.
But after he passes out, we go to the flashback and...
Of head.
Yeah, Wick Wallace is getting a blowjob from Abby.
Hooray.
She is really hot.
Her accent is not as bad as he makes it.
No.
No, not really at all.
He over-exaggerates
her
accent a lot.
She does
kind of
have a little bit of club thumbs, though. Her thumbs are a little weird. I don't know.
Really?
That's the only problem with her. We're good.
Really? She's played by Genesis Rodriguez, which...
Very tall, very thin.
What else was she in?
Did you guys do your homework on that?
No.
No.
Did I tell you?
I don't care about that chick at all. You tell me.
I told you I needed the cast info and walrus info.
We know so much about Walrus Cock. Tell us about Genesis.
She plays Allie in Tusk. I guess she's a telenovela actress.
That makes
worked
sense.
In something like that.
Muy bien.
Yes, she worked in something like that. But this whole scene's kind of upsetting because you find out that...
is where you found out that Wallace hasn't been a douche his whole entire life.
Yeah, and he's not just a douche on air. He's a douche to her, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But he used to be a straight-up sensitive, cool guy, but that, you know, the nice guys kind of finished last.
Yes.
He started getting paid once he was being a douche with his podcast.
Yeah,
so
there's
he's
the
like,
old Walter and there's the new Walter.
Yeah.
The new Walter is making how much? Trivia question?
He said,
how much in ads?
$100,000.
$200,000. It was something in the $100,000.
$100,000.
That's right.
$100,000 in ads.
I'm a woman. I remember
dollars. Not including the movies and the
t-shirts. And it's great. But Allie, she calls him a fucking asshole. This director, she's sucking his dick. And, you know.
She did leave him with blue balls.
Vicious.
Yeah. And she,
No, she doesn't.
She finishes him.
Yeah.
She does finish it. It takes a long time.
He calls her vicious for stopping in the middle of it and not finishing when
he
wanted to.
She calls him vicious. But.
So she was,
she calls
Casa de Padre, which starred Will Ferrell, which you can watch on Netflix.
Oh, that was a Netflix show.
It takes a long time
to
get
through.
Did
you see that one?
It was it took me two showings. Like we stopped watching it and then started it up the next day.
Was it okay?
It was weird because it was Will Ferrell trying to speak Spanish and there was subtitles of English underneath it. And when you're like, damn it, Will Ferrell, just speak English because this is awful.
I don't mind subtitles.
And she was the love interest to Will Ferrell.
Okay.
She was also in Big Hero 6, so she was an animated
voice.
Okay.
No, Wallace kind of guilt tripped her because she calls him vicious and he's like, no, you're vicious. Vicious. What you just did was vicious. Giving me blue balls is vicious.
Yeah, he's a fucking dick.
She's going to be in Moose Jaws as the same character.
Okay. Oh, yes.
According
to
Internet Movie
Database. Yeah.
She did do a good crying scene.
Shout out to Internet Movie Database.
Right,
that was a good
monologue.
We're
going
to get to that.
Thousands.
I know.
This is where we find out about the old Wallace, that he was a stand-up comic.
That he was just a nerd, a closet nerd, like all of us.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, nice, decent to everybody around, but.
But he started this.
She was on a couple episodes of Entourage.
We don't care anymore.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Adios, Genesis.
You're hot.
But, I'll give
and
her
you,
that.
You look pretty crying.
But
you
she mentions, she calls it cringe humor. Of what he does, which I guess is a good description.
That's pretty polite, actually.
Yeah, that's very on top, like what politics
right.
is kind of
like
that.
They're
kind of
Tosh.0-esque.
They're
taking
worse than Tosh.0.
They're taking things on the internet and they're mocking them and blowing them up and.
But Kevin Smith has always done that. Like what the youth is kind of exploiting at the moment with like mall rats, is everybody hanging at the mall, the convenience store type thing, and.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So he picks a thing.
He kind of picks like what the fuck are we like kind of like. Stepping something. Over, like, we're getting, like, sucked into that's pointless, kind of.
Okay, so I gotta ask, why is Allie with Wallace?
He made $100,000 last year, duh.
Do I see my little dollar signs on my notes here? That's my answer.
Are you?
Is there any other answer?
Are you a gold digger? She with the guy before he got rich, though.
No, then you're just entitled because you've been there since the beginning.
Then he turns into a dick, and you're still staying with him, complaining he's being a dick, while you're blowing him, because she goes back and finishes him off. Yeah.
This is my final sentence on Allie and fucking Wallace's relationship. $100,000 last year.
That he split with his friend, which is $50,000, when they live in L.A. So $50,000 a year in L.A. really isn't...
What does she do? Do they ever...
That's not counting live performance and t-shirt sales.
Do they tell...
But it did
kind of
seem
like
Wallace was stroking his own ego on
that
way. Who knows?
Didn't sound like they lived together either because he said he was going to Allie's.
There's a lot of people though that when you're in a long-term relationship after like 2 years or so, sometimes you just feel comfortable and you get complacent no matter if the you kind of drifted away or not.
Because it's easier to fuck him than not to.
Kind of.
But then she goes and finishes it off. That's like, what the fuck?
Well, he did go to her, but you were vicious. Don't give me blue balls.
As a man, don't you appreciate getting to finish?
Well,
I mean, everyone appreciates getting to finish.
Don't you want to suck him when he's clean out of like clean without strange pussy?
I can't respect this girl talking shit about him the whole time, saying that, you know, oh, you're a fucking asshole, you're vicious, you're not the same person you used to be, blah blah blah, this and that. You're
and a then,
fucking dick. Oh, I'm gonna go fucking finish off and suck your dick till you come on my throat. You know,
how many relationships do you see like of a
that's
guy
guilt,
being
because
a,
later we find out she's doing other illicit things.
Oh yeah,
so like, she finished and she took that load as a guilt load.
I believe that's just setting up a toxic relationship because we've known a lot of girls and like the guys are complete
Kevin
dick
Smith,
to her,
you're so complex,
but yet they're still with her. But he loves me type aspect, or I put so much time into it. I'm thinking maybe that scene was just to set you up of how much it was invested and just kind of feeling stuck.
Right.
Instead of because I've already invested so much time, I shouldn't just get out because I've already put so much in type of shit.
But
and he used to be
asshole.
A nice
he
boy.
Is a dick. He is a completely
dick. He says
dick.
He's an asshole.
He remembers
he's banging
used to
his friend. I
mean, yeah.
But okay. Well, we go back to the present. Wallace wakes up. He's in a wheelchair.
In a very wide
room. In a nice
room.
Sunroom. It's like,
and he's
a lot of windows.
He's still drinking his big gulp cup that he got from
well,
the
how
gas
brings
station.
It to him? How brings it to
it's
him?
It's on his wheelchair.
No, how brings it to him and gives it to him.
It's like, oh, you need to wet your whistle probably.
Yeah. Well, he wakes up and how is he sitting there? He's sharpening something. Which
some
I'm,
sort
it was a
of bone.
Bone.
Yeah, it was all, it was his leg bone. That was going to be made into his tusks. Yeah, he's sharpening it up. Oh. And this is when he tells him the whole spider story.
Right.
The brown recluse.
The brown recluse on his thigh.
That seemed to climbed up his leg and bit you.
But you're not at the
hospital.
And again,
he was very eloquent. He's like, he was so tiny for somebody that lives so destructive. And he's just very eloquent to where he's... speaks,
so first, Wallace is like, where's my phone? Where's my phone?
Where's the doctor? None of this makes sense.
House says, oh, the doctor broke your phone. It's in pieces.
He stepped on it.
Yeah, he stepped on it some shit.
Oh, like, this ring was already sanitized.
And he took the other phone from the house.
And he's like,
he took all the phones. So Dr.
Mosier.
Mosier said this room was already sanitized.
Not Mosier.
So.
Not Mosier, exactly. It's spelled Mosier, but it's pronounced Mosier.
That's
a nice
Canadian way to pronounce
again,
it.
Again, with him being so creative with the names. French but Canadian. I love it. I kind of like this.
Dr. Mosier. He demanded all the phones be taken out of the house.
To relieve the stress.
Yes. You can't have phones bothering your
and
patient.
And he already had a sterilized room, so he should just perform the surgery there instead of taking him to a hospital.
Yes, because he had to take drastic measures.
Because the brown recluse bit him and his leg was dying.
Now, this is the big reveal of the leg. And Justin Long, does he sell this or not? Come on. I think he sells it. I think he fucking nails it.
I liked it. I thought it was really good.
First
I liked
like,
how
oh,
dazed
fuck.
He was coming out of like, wait a minute, that...
But then you
okay,
wake up.
Okay, that doesn't... Yeah. I thought he did a really good job.
I agree. He snapped in. He's like, holy fuck. First he's like, wait, where's my leg?
Yeah. I appreciated how crude the stitching was. I liked the... And the skin, the bone. I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked the incision spot, too.
He
it
says,
was
holy
good.
Shit, there's no leg there.
I got no leg!
And then he starts freaking out. Of course. Yeah, yeah, he would. And then Howl laughs at him, and then you're like, oh,
yeah,
shit. We're in for something here. And that's when he tells him that the Dr. Mosier has removed all of the phones, and
he's gone. He's preparing his rounds, but he'll be back
That's
later.
That's total bullshit.
Because he's like, where's my doctor?
Wouldn't you freak the fuck out?
He recommended that we remove all the phones from the house, Nadia.
Yeah.
As a nurse, I would never recommend you remove the phones, because how will you contact the doctor for orders if you remove
all
the
phones? But he was also very dazed coming out of anesthetic.
Oh,
so
super
he
dazed.
Can't.
Oh, I he played, later he on in this, we're going to really get into my medical inconsistencies.
In fact, we're here, actually, because... Howard Howe walks off and he's just a little, I'm truly sorry for your loss.
Right. And he giggles
and,
kind of weird. It's like, almost like a Joker smile a little bit that creepily comes up. Weird. It's so great.
It's, awful.
It's so great.
It's terrifying.
Then we cut over to the dinner scene.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And what's in front of him yet, but his big gulp cup. A beautiful, like, yeah.
It's there at the dinner
table. Like a beautiful, like, roasted potatoes and a nice hunk of meat, and it's still his big gulp, or what, guggalug, what a chug-a-lug, whatever it was at the convenience store.
Right.
It's on his table, right in front of him. Howard Howe has a nice glass of wine, but he's still got the 64
ounce
of
water. He needs to stay hydrated.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's, I noticed that later on. But
it's like in every, it's always with him.
Yeah. Awesome. This is when Wallace is like, he's at the table. He says, you're drugged up, you know, or Howard tells him you're drugged up.
Oh, you're
up.
Still
He said, I'm not
sleepy.
Sleepy.
I can't move my arms. I'm
I'm immobilized.
Yeah. Oh, immobilized, yeah.
So Nadia, the nurse, what is he under?
Oh, like what drug did he use to immobilize him?
Where he could still speak,
Howard,
but he can't use
Howard says it's morphine. But... Wallace says, no, I'm not sleepy. I'm just immobilized. He can't move his arms or nothing.
Well, morphine could do that, too, depending on... It's probably more like Darvocet or Dilaudid.
Okay, I don't want to put you under the knife or anything.
They gave me this stuff. Oh, my God. When morphine was...
So Howard Howe comes out
hospital,
and says there was
like
no spider.
Right, he admits it.
There was no spider. And... He's like, oh, what does a spider look like? And he does his little itsy-bitsy spider thing.
And that's, yeah, not creepy enough, right? When you're like, this guy's fucking losing it. I'm in his house. There's no doctor.
I love how into it he gets because you can actually see, like, the spit flying out of his mouth.
Oh,
as
Michael
he's
Parks?
Michael Parks. As he's like, as he's like mocking the child's nursery rhyme. It's fucking great.
He's just enjoying it.
And this is the moment that I think Justin Long Wallace is, because he says, oh shit.
Yeah.
Because that's when you know, okay, this guy's fucking crazy. I'm in trouble. You know, there is no doctor.
And then
no
Justin Long starts screaming and he just starts mimicking him screaming too. He's like, scream too. I'll scream with you. Ah, there's nobody here.
And he tells him, they start
you
screaming.
To go full walrus.
He tells him, yes, yes,
walrus.
This is what he
you
says.
You are a walrus now.
You must be the walrus.
Yeah.
And he says, is or man indeed a walrus at heart? Is he, do you think?
Well.
Is man really a walrus at heart? I don't know.
American men, definitely, right? Fat fucks, greedy, like they're bitches, right?
Yeah.
Gluttonous, loud. Competitive. Hey. Fighting on the beach. Yeah.
So now we go to Jolene's favorite scene, which is the what Kevin Smith calls the Genesis shot. Right on Allie, her monologue.
Okay.
When she talks into the camera.
With tears in her eyes.
This is when she reveals that the Wallace is cheating on her.
I don't necessarily say this is my favorite scene.
Well, you mentioned
talked
like,
about it a lot.
I mean, no, I mentioned
like
it earlier
times.
To girl. No, I mentioned it. It did display that she can act. She had a very long monologue and she did display a lot of emotion. I think
she did a great job. Yeah,
she did do a good job on it. I think that's all it was. It wasn't like I fucking loved like.
Then
she wanted to marry her, eat her out after it.
Oh, she wants to kill her then?
Then she swallowed Teddy's cock. That's what happened. She gave that beautiful monologue.
No, Teddy flicked her clit with his tongue.
Yeah, probably. And this relationship
needs
the blower.
So
not
she's
her.
Like dealing with the dilemma of Wallace and how he treats her like shit, but like she still loves him or loved who he was, and then It kind of displays that then she's still fucking,
she's
now
so vexed.
She's fucking his best friend that does the, Teddy that does the cod to pass with him, but it like helps her carry on, but she knows it's wrong. It's a total like,
mind fuck.
How, yeah. You know, justification, like, how can I justify doing something wrong type thing? And it doesn't make any sense, but she tries to make...
Don't make a right, Jolene.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you can't really root for her. She's cheating on Wallace. And the
Teddy's just like, score.
Cheating. Yeah.
You know the real reason Teddy's staying home is to hit that.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way, doesn't it?
Yep.
Hooray, Haley Joel Osment.
He
don't know it's Teddy
yet,
though.
We don't. It's just a hand for like a whole scene.
You can tell a little bit from the hand, but
well, then it cuts.
It's a fat hand,
and then it cuts right to Teddy doing the podcast
and brushing his teeth.
Yeah. So, and you think, well, who else could it be in the movie? There's only like five people in the movie. So, and this is when Teddy and Wallace are playing foosball, and Teddy,
like, how can he cheat on that?
Yeah.
She's so fun.
Yeah. And he's like, why are you always defending her? Blah blah blah, and. Walter reveals that he is a cheater, so this talk by her was a crazy talk.
No.
This is real shit.
He likes Roadhead.
Yeah, he's a fucking dick, so.
Right. And he admits that, like, comic fangirls, like, are generous, but a little chunky.
Chunky,
like,
yeah.
Whatever.
When you ask, is there anyone likable in the movie? I don't know.
It's Howard Howe. He's the most likable character. He's charming.
He fucks you up.
So, we cut to the present. And Wallace hears the phone ring.
Oh, the guy with the hair and the beard at the customs guy. He was likable. Sorry. But anyways.
Yeah, okay.
The friendly Canadian.
But
yeah.
Wallace.
Optimistic, man.
Optimistic.
Wallace with no legs hears his phone ringing. Somehow his phone is out now. Which
right,
is,
just been sitting on a table because Howard Howe is so cocky that
and
he didn't even check.
Douche.
He didn't even turn the fucking silence on the phone.
It has the douchiest ring though. It's ooh. It's like supposed to be like part. It's bad.
That's totally an in joke. That's funny. You should say that.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Go on.
That is Ralph Garman. The host of Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith.
Right.
That's his ringtone?
No, that's him doing an Al Pacino impersonation on the show, which someone took and cut and put a disco beat behind it.
It's so
that's exactly
fucking
what that is. And then sent it to the show, and then they played it. Hold on, we're going to play it real quick.
Okay, yeah.
You can hear the people laughing in the crowd.
You can.
When he's doing it.
Yeah, now that you tell me it's Ralph Garman, I'll never forget.
He's doing Al Pacino.
That's great.
And someone took the...
That's totally Hollywood Babylon.
That's great. It's still
I like when he does
sounding.
David Bowie.
Oh, yeah, if you don't know, that's funny to hear someone that never didn't know what that is. That's funny to hear that take. That's awesome.
It was actually perfect for ringtone for
douchey.
His character.
Yeah, for the character.
That's a great fucking overview, you know, view. So he misses the call. He calls Allie and leaves her a voicemail. Yep. And he has no address. He tells her he's 2 hours from Winnipeg.
Yeah. Right.
And this is when you get like on the classic lines from the movie. She says, Allie, I don't want to die in Canada.
That's right.
So how did he get his phone? What's going on with
it was
that?
Just sitting on a table across from him, like
that,
just like one room adjacent. He was.
Did anybody else get the feel that scene was kind of like, oh my God, the Stephen King, Misery, where he's like a loose in the, yeah.
Very.
Like he set him up.
The whole movie, most
kind
of the movie is. Very misery-ish, kind of.
Okay.
There's
so,
a lot of pull, a lot of genre
I think he's admitted to it.
This scene specifically, right?
Yeah.
So Jolene and I, we watched this movie together. We re-watched it together just this past week. And during this scene, I said, why the fuck didn't he just dial 911? Does Canada have 911? Oh. So we Googled, right? And we're like, okay, Canada, what do you got, right? Are you
999 or something?
And no, in Canada it's still 911 because we have the close enough phone system. But in Britain, it is 999.
Oh, okay.
In Britain, which we learned today. Thursday night. We learned that. We'll never forget. If we're ever in Britain, there's an emergency, we dial 999. It's a thing.
All right.
It's like CPR once you know.
Because
you know.
I said maybe had bar for actually making a call, right. But not data so, to actually what
to dial 911. Yeah. Right.
I'm sure most of our UK listeners are going, what's 911?
Really?
How many UK listeners do you think we got?
At least one.
Oh, no, we have worldwide listeners.
Hooray.
I'll show you the
thing. Thank you, worldwide.
We got
thank you.
It's kind of impressive.
We're middle-class Americans.
Yeah, hooray. Yeah, and hope they'll, you know, hope they're back for us. We've been gone for a while, but we're going to come and go. We'll be around.
Right.
You know, I think we're not going anywhere, but we're not going to be as regular as we used to be. So.
So he then called her and left a message because she didn't answer her phone.
Right. Like, hey, help me. I'm trapped in this guy's house.
Teddy goes to brush his teeth after this, the sob story. You find out that it's him that she's confessing this to.
She's boinking.
Okay, yeah, and you see Teddy, his phone's going off.
He actually sees it ringing.
Same ringtone, too.
He ignores it.
Yeah, it's like his ringtone for a while.
Probably. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I can go with that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, isn't Wallace missing for 3 days already?
Teddy's like, fuck it, he's getting some A's.
You think
Teddy's like, I'm getting some A's too.
Think about it. The day that he went to Howard House was the day that he was
supposed
one
to
day,
see the dude. So
and
he
then
wasn't
he was
buying,
like,
yet.
I'm wasting 2 days. He was supposed to stay two days in Canada and like probably fly back on the third day.
Yeah. He met Howard Howe on the first day that he was there.
I'm gonna check this out.
Right. It was late. It was like 11 p.m. or something. It was late because it took him hours to get there. But it was still the first day. So until, like, the next day, he should be flying home.
Okay.
So it really,
or
like,
the
maybe,
day after that.
Right.
Depending.
So maybe one more day. Yeah. So we're at 3 day mark is when you start to worry, when you haven't heard from him at least.
He wasn't worried about him.
No.
He figured he was getting some ass.
He figures
Wallace,
checking in. He's like, I'll talk to him later kind
right.
of thing.
Wallace
probably.
Was scheduled to be out there between 48 to 72 hours.
Right, depending how things went.
Okay, yeah. I have another question for you guys.
Okay.
Now, you guys are Allie and Teddy.
Okay.
And Wallace goes out there to do this video about this kid
Kill
who cuts
Bill.
Off his leg.
Yeah.
Right.
Now he's calling you, telling you someone cut off his leg.
Oh, do you believe him?
Yes.
Right, because he flat out says in the
he
voicemail.
He also said
this is
earlier
not a joke.
He needed a story. He needed something to do. He had lost this thing to talk about, so he needed something to talk about.
Oh.
Well, if he's desperate, what can he talk about? I'm going to fool my friends.
Hmm. So they're like, you're being a dick.
Yeah, wouldn't you think that, maybe? Especially when you're doing, I lost my leg, that kid lost his leg.
No. I think
no, because from when he makes that original voicemail, he's like, I think he's trying to turn me into a fucking walrus or something. He mentions
an animal, I think he says.
An animal.
Yeah.
I think that they could tell by the desperation and the tone of his voice that it was genuine. You know what I mean? I think terror is genuine.
His girlfriend,
I
Allie
felt
was,
terrified
yeah.
for him. And
oh
it
yeah,
was
he
genuine.
Sold it. He sold it.
You know what I mean?
Justin
like
Long
I was like Jesus Christ, and that's why I was so angry about fucking dial 911. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like send well,
like,
somebody out here.
Locate this shit.
Again,
right.
If he didn't
like
know.
There is a strange man chopping me up.
Again,
in a beautiful
if he didn't,
country
if he
home.
Know the local emergency number. And, who knows if he had the data to be able to look that up?
Bifrost. At least try 911.
Bifrost, not frostbite.
Bifrost. Yeah.
Fucking Canada, wherever the fuck that is.
Speaking of the phone thing, this is how long is this from since he got captured? He got taken in.
A couple
in.
Days. A
His
day.
Phone is still working. Whose
oh,
phone
like
works
the,
after 2 days?
Oh, you
and
mean
not
like the battery's
in?
Not dead?
Yeah.
You know what, I don't...
Even if you don't ever touch
maybe
it.
Maybe he had an airplane mode.
I don't use my phone. I don't use my phone that often.
You
my phone, no.
Your phone stays active for like 48 hours, even when you don't touch it.
If I don't touch it, like within a day and a half or 2 days, I'm like at 20%.
I'll give you a day and a half.
I gotta
days.
Plug that shit in at midnight every night, or tomorrow is fucked.
Oh yeah. No. Sometimes I gotta plug it in midday. I'm like, oh, it's getting low.
Yeah, no, I don't. When I'm not using data, when I don't have, that shit like lasts a while.
But yeah, not 3 days.
Later
so.
On, we're gonna talk about who your provider is.
But the time difference a lot of late.
Yeah, it's confusing.
Because later on,
we're
this
sedated,
guy,
so
this
we're
guy
not
heals.
Sure how long it's been.
Yeah, later on, this guy heals in miraculous time. So we
we're gonna talk about that.
We can't bitch about a time in a movie about a guy who turns a wall guy another guy into a walrus.
Yeah,
so
or can we?
Speaking of, with we cut to Howard Howe. He's talking, going on another one of his awesome monologues.
Oh shit!
And he's sewing something.
Yeah.
And we get these good shots of his. I assume it must be his workshop, maybe. He has all these pictures on the wall of different kinds of things.
His experimental his tools.
And he's telling us a deep ass story.
What's he telling the story about?
Of his childhood.
About how he's an orphan.
And where he lived.
And then the state was run by orphans and mental hospitals, but they got more money if it was a mental hospital.
And
so
how
they
people
just...
who were supposed to protect him and care for him actually raped him and pimped him. And how his anus and his mouth were violated.
By politicians and priests.
For money.
Well, he was an orphan. He got in the orphanage. And they got it, they got a loophole that if you were classified as a state, a state asylum, you got more money.
Right.
So they just converted all the orphans and said that they were state asylums and then just put all the orphanage and said that
and
they were a psychopath.
Fuck them till they were crazy.
And just use them for their pleasure.
You know, that was based on true events.
And that is god awful.
That is actually yeah. did happen.
I believe
took
it
that
because humanity and, is terrible.
I mean, yes. It didn't really happen that a guy named Howard Howe did,
right.
But,
no, but two real people in real life
did really
horrible,
happen.
Horrible things happen. Today and every day, all across the world, horrible things still happen to people like that. In Africa, there's like a rape fucking prostitution crisis. It's everywhere.
In Africa, you mean here, right? Too. It's not just like
no,
in
but
third world. Yeah.
But in third world countries, you, okay, in third world countries, but when they leave the house every day,
there's
they put
a reason
a glass
why I like horror movies and comedy films.
Cunts.
I don't want to feel like a bad person. So we're here about drinking and talking about this movie. So don't fucking talk about.
I just dropped a realness
African
bomb.
African orphans that are 10 months old being raped, okay? I don't want to fucking hear about that
it's
shit
right like
now.
It's like Book of Mormon, dude, okay? Well, it's meant to prevent AIDS.
You know,
I want to baptize
speaking of which, this is the point where Howard says, man is a savage animal.
Yes. We are. That's true.
And he says, better to be a walrus.
Yep.
And we break.
He thinks walruses are better than us.
I think most animals are better than us. How? What other animal is as destructive as us?
Oh, none. Definitely.
Exactly.
Not. Oh, for sure.
We can't survive without destroying everything in our fucking path.
Oh, for sure. We're done. Yeah, we're done. But anyway, back to the
we
movie.
We are the fleas of the earth. Sorry. Okay, back to the movie.
So we cut over to Allie and Teddy. They are driving. Allie's calling the police, I think.
They're upset, yeah.
She's calling and saying, okay, this is what's going on, blah,
it's
blah, blah.
It's not a joke.
They believe
what,
them.
Oh, what's
they
the,
believe them.
What's the name of the podcast?
Nazi
Party.
Party.
Click.
Spell it!
Yeah, just
click.
Spell it! Click by.
Yeah.
N-O-T-S-E-E party.com.
So they just fly over there. They try to get people on the phone. But it's not working.
They meet up later on, but first we cut over to the Walrus Enclave, and we hear the music playing, the videos playing of the beach scene.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
And Michael Parks has his great monologue, where you know he goes on and on and on. He says, it's very hard to be the elephant of the deep blue sea.
Yeah.
And then we get our first full look
Coo-coo-ca-choo.
Of Wallace slash Walrus.
But have we talked
that
about
was
the
Walrus
whole story
and the Carpenter.
About Mr. Tusk?
The Walrus
yeah, that was coming over.
Carpenter.
Like that, he talked about that when he was sewing him. So he got like shipwrecked. He was abandoned on a little island, and the person that saved him was a walrus. He kept him warm, and then it was like on his like 69th day or a month
they
at
were
sea,
friends.
He like was starving to death, and he fucking killed the walrus for his meat. And then an hour later, he was saved. So the person that
he had
saved
some remorse
him,
for
yeah.
eating the walrus.
So yes. that's his story.
The whole premise of mutilating hundreds of people.
That's
and
why he's
them
so
walruses.
Obsessed with walruses. A walrus saved him, and then he killed it and ate it to like save himself, and it was unnecessary to do so.
But he didn't
yeah,
know that.
Right, well, we find out a little later on about that. But
yeah.
yeah, right away, right after they do this full reveal of the walrus, yeah. you hear
oh
the
God.
Voiceover. Of Howard Howe talking about his love for Mr. Tusk
yep.
and his hatred for the world.
Right.
And it's all like cutting back and forth while Ellie and Teddy are trying to track down Wallace, you know, in Winnipeg, going here and there.
The move, the music during the scene
that
and during the fight scene is like great. It's kind of like drummy and it's really good music. I loved it. It's like very energetic.
Well, during the fight scene is actually the song Tusk by Fleetwood Mac. And this one's kind of inspired by it, I would say.
Oh.
But this is where we meet Ralph Garman. He's the Winnipeg detective.
Frank Garman.
Which is taken from one of the early episodes of their show they did, right, Emailer. It's called him Frank Garman. So Kevin Smith took that and ran with it and called him Frank Garman in the show. But Ralph Garman plays this Winnipeg detective, and he tells him about this private investigator who's been asking about any missing limbs.
La Pointe.
Yeah, Guy La Pointe.
Guy, not Guy. Guy La Pointe.
But before we meet this interesting character, we cut back to Wallace, where it's the swimming lesson where he says a walrus must learn to swim. And he throws him into the water, pulls him down the chain, he slides in. Right. You see a lot of the walrus. You think you see too much?
Right, okay, so this...
My husband thinks you do.
This is where, as a healthcare professional, this is fucked, right? Because you never submerge stitches. Like, he is not far enough out from surgery.
That's what, 5-6 days, right?
Right, right. You have to literally wait, like, 2 weeks before you can bait. Like, we gently dab that shit with saline and keep it a dry dressing. You don't submerge stitches or sutures or anything like that because they will literally mold and mildew and grow fucking bacteria, and that's bad for you to get infections. So...
There's medically so many speaking, loopholes there were so many, in every horror movie sci-fi. Yeah. There's always loopholes.
I was really upset about that. I was like, you never submerged stitches.
I appreciated it.
Like, there needed to be at minimally a 2 week window.
Oh, you think,
minimally.
Even the way he looks,
it's not healing, right?
My husband thinks that they showed too much. It should have been more like shadowy and just like more pandan of like some of the stitches, some of the face close or like up. Ears.
It made tight, it more tight, campy.
Don't like do the campy. Whole
tight, dark close ups.
Yes.
The walrus neck that was just totally a scrotum.
Well, and it like makes your mind think of more of it.
Exactly.
Instead of,
I think what they could have done is kept that going, that whole idea of shooting the walrus like that through the whole movie until later when he kills Howard,
then
show his face
the whole
in the dark.
Oh,
and then you see him in full daylight at the very end.
At the very
end.
That.
That's the only time.
Yeah,
you see
when
him
Allie
in full
brings him the
daylight.
Mackerel or whatever.
You know?
Yeah, that
I get
been
that,
great.
But I do appreciate because like a lot of like late 80s, early 90s horror movies, it was all about the prosthetics.
It was
and,
all
like, the, like
look at what we did, look what we made.
And it was kind of like it was a lot of an homage to that. So that's what I kind of appreciated of that. Do I think it would have probably made a better suspenseful movie, more creepy if they like kept it more in the shadows? Yes, but I like But it made it to the outreach, the what we're trying to go through. Right. We're not super serious. The camp.
And he's not.
The camp.
Super serious. The camp and the
homage to what I grew up on.
For me, very specifically, this movie is like two movies, right? So there's the first movie, there's the suspenseful horror movie, and then there is the part where you see the full walrus, and then you deal with La Pointe. Like Johnny Depp. This is hard for me to say because I love Johnny Depp.
This is when
I love him, right?
Well, right before we meet him, though.
Right before.
This is when Wallace lets himself sink into the water.
Right.
And he sees all of the...
He's not the first.
Skeleton.
I think he's ready to die right there. I think
he's
like
he's
going...
He's just like, oh, my God.
I think he's sinking down going, that's
he's
it.
He's like,
I'm
done.
Out
but
of
then
here.
He sees that, fuck, he's done this to other
he
people. I better
all
fight.
All the other ones around like going, oh, fuck.
His will to live.
I guess. Yeah. You know,
how many, dude? Did anyone count? Isn't there
it comes up later. It comes up later.
Or something like that?
Well, the... Number comes up later.
How many we see?
But that was at that
right. But they didn't make it.
We don't know.
Kind of
he totally did
the brush.
There's like it was like three.
Even though his bones were still fusing, he totally.
But because
did the
of some of the other stories, we know that he's had to move his location.
And he survived.
So we don't.
And he had to eat sushi. He had to eat raw fish, which for me, literally, if this scenario had happened to me, my bitch ass would be dead. Okay.
Yeah, I don't.
Because I don't eat. I don't eat sushi.
I would
be
not
a raw.
Me neither.
I like sushi. Okay. I would be asking
like,
if
no
it was
mahi
sushi because I don't want no tapeworm.
No.
I don't want. You're eating a mackerel.
There's bones still in that bitch. Like, no, it's not. I can't. I would not have survived
full
raw. I would be
a
corpse.
You've never gutted anything.
I watched my father do it as a child.
All right, away from the fish. Let's get to the movie star.
Yes.
Oh.
This is where we meet Mr. Guy La Pointe, who is played by... Guy La Pointe.
Guy La Pointe. Yeah, they don't say his name.
No, it's not in the credits.
It's fucking Johnny Depp.
It's who?
We all know it's Johnny
Depp.
Depp.
No way.
It is.
No way.
Johnny Depp with a big prosthetic on his schnoz.
Okay. Kevin Smith's daughter and Johnny Depp daughters are really close friends. Right. And it was kind of like a, alright, I'll do it, but I don't want my name in it because I want my daughter in it. I want it to be her thing.
But that's what literally Johnny Depp's role, and I fucking love him. Jack Sparrow is my baby daddy. Like, I love him. I love Johnny Depp. I've seen every fucking thing. He's Edward Scissorhands. He's.
I did not hate his character.
I don't love him in this movie. I feel like this is where the camp turns.
I think he's all
prosthetic nose and he's all bad French Canadian accent and he's over the top.
Okay.
And then you have go full Walrus was just fucking over the top. But, and it changes the tone of the movie and becomes less real and more camp.
Think of what he's paying like homage films. To though. Like it's more of like the late 80s, early
he's
90s
fucking,
kinda camp.
He's Mr. Magoo.
Movie. But if you go back to that genre of movies, who is like the person that knows it all?
Mr.
It's the
Magoo.
Kind of fucking crazy person that everybody has dismissed.
Right.
Because you're just fucking crazy.
I know.
That was his character.
Nadia, you mentioned his nose. It was interesting.
That prosthetic nose.
Have you heard
just,
the story about the
no,
nose?
No, I don't know about the nose. I know it pisses me off and
there's,
I know.
There's a story told by Kevin Smith about the nose.
Tell me about the nose,
set.
Jason.
Yeah, pour some
I'm
shots.
I'm gonna pour some shots while you tell
oh,
me about the
do.
Nose.
Sounds like a wonderful idea. There's my glass.
Okay.
But, so on the set of Tusk, Johnny Depp goes in for his, makeup, gets his nose worked on, and he comes out to Kevin Smith and goes to him, he's like, hey, here's my nose, what do you think? And Kevin looks at it, he's like, well, yeah.
It looks like a dick.
He's looking at it, he's like, and then Johnny Depp goes, does it look like a dick to you? And Kevin Smith goes, yeah, kind of. And Johnny Depp returns like, well, that's what I'm shooting for, so alright.
Okay, well, if Johnny Depp knew what he was signing up for.
Have you seen Nothing But Trouble? Chevy Chase is like, the judge and he's got a prosthetic nose and it's a total on dick nose. Like you can see the little pee hole. It's great.
You enjoy prosthetic
Nothing But
dick
Trouble.
Nose.
I think Steve Martin pulled it off best in Roxanne for dick nose.
That was very long and skinny. there was no head on that nose. That
top
dick.
Five dick noses coming up next on Drunk Film Commentary.
All right.
So we're at. Still in Ralph Garman's office, talking to him, he asks about any missing limbs. Or, no, he says, I've had this PI come in and talk about looking for someone missing limbs. And, well, you're a guy is missing limbs, so hey there. Maybe we should hook you guys up.
Right.
Well, the cops are more like, we can't really help you. He's not truly a missing person. Are you sure he's not?
Oh, we did that. We're down here by Gila Point. We're down.
Okay.
We've met Gila Point.
We went to the In-N-Out Burger or wherever we were.
Now,
the Whataburger.
I think he's a little too much, Gila Point.
Oh, okay. This is the only thing I like about Gila
Point. I like the smushing of the sandwich.
This is the only thing I like. Okay, yeah, I do like the smushing
slider.
Of the sandwich. Smushing the sandwich
the
is important.
Slider.
Okay. It doesn't matter what kind of sandwich.
The milkshake.
Here's the thing with smushing a sandwich. That's important, right?
There's like a whole
because
like thing.
It's a culture. A culture of sandwich smushing.
There's like a race of people that smush their sandwiches.
You smush it. And it tastes better because it fits in your mouth. You get all the layers.
No, it's just like more, it's like the texture, it's denser, it's like
really?
Chewier.
Oh, I just thought it was because all the layers fit your mouth. That's why I like it
smushed.
That's
the texture, it's like denser and chewier.
That's why.
It's softer.
Either.
It's like doughier.
You and I are both pro smash your sandwich.
Oh,
yeah.
I would put chips on my sandwich and smash it.
Here's
that
a little
shit.
Side point, right? We're going to do the Kevin Smith. We're going to do six degrees of Kevin Smith. On an episode of Impractical Jokers, okay, which has Brian Quinn on it. Brian Quinn.
We are not doing 6 degrees of Kevin Smith.
Well, I am.
Okay.
So,
I think we should save
so
that
Kevin
for the
Smith
top
has Brian Quinn, who is like a crony,
I don't know
who
people.
Has a show called Impractical Jokers. On Impractical Jokers,
I've
one of the members
episodes.
Of the four are in a sandwich shop, and he says, you want me to squish it? And the guy says, yeah, squish it. And he squishes the sandwich for him, and he gives it to him, and he smashes it. And that's a whole culture of people who actually enjoy their sandwiches flattened out for them.
I want
to
squish my own though. I don't want some fucking
you want
stranger.
Someone else to
no,
squish your
I don't
sandwich.
Want, I don't
okay.
want, no.
But
he squishes it on the counter. He doesn't even put it like at the top.
He doesn't put like the
wax paper is not down
or
there or nothing.
Yeah,
he's like paper. Squishing it right on the towel or on the fucking counter.
Eddie's putting the booze right in the milkshake.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a drink for that one, right?
Hey!
Drink for that.
Here's LaPointe's,
what's he drinking there? Who cares?
Who knows?
It was
a
milkshake.
Flask full of milkshake.
Nice.
I was thinking it was probably brandy or Irish whiskey.
So it was brown.
I mean, we talked earlier about who you can like in this movie. Right. I think this is like your best bet. If someone
but
that
at
you
the
can
same time,
for.
He fucked up.
Yeah.
He tells you about how he fucked up. And so he could have prevented fucking Wallace from even experiencing this if he had
doesn't
not
everybody,
let his
no,
own biases make him not fucking suspect.
But that also makes it a very relatable
scene. He tracks
scene.
Him down. I mean, he's one.
But he mistakes him as a simpleton and ignores him.
Well, you missed
and
the
then
one.
2 years but later, he does this to Wallace. And if he had been a good detective and brought him in and not just treated him as a simpleton.
I don't think that makes him, like, unlikable.
I
actually
makes him
think,
less likable.
I actually think that makes him more likable because everybody is guilty of that, of dismissing something
that's
without,
true.
Like, and, like, having retrospect if, like, once you know the outcome and, like, then analyzing and picking it, I should have questioned or prodded more. So I actually think that makes him more likable
there's
instead
no,
of dislikable.
There's no perfect character in this movie. Every single person is flawed.
I think Johnny Depp played this character way too over the top.
Over
yeah,
the
this
top.
Is a movie that's about a guy who turns into another guy doing a walrus.
Yeah.
But right. I think if he could have played this guy a little bit more like a badass, not so much like a goofy, you know, lazy eye, beret wearing,
yeah,
shitty Canadian.
Accent. Yeah. You know, he's just...
Canadian.
But I think he wanted to play with more of the comedy shtick of the B-horror movies instead of right. like the horror of the horror B-horror movies.
That's why it feels like two films to me because I was fucking horrified.
But and then at the end,
no,
the very last scene,
at the end,
when you
I
see
feel...
him pull that gun up, you want to be such a badass.
You...
Even when he doesn't, no, he doesn't do it.
We'll
still,
talk about that.
Even
we
still,
talk about,
still
we
want,
actually had a discussion about that.
You still want to think he's a badass.
Jolene
like.
And I had an in-depth discussion about that scene.
Gila
it was
point
like 4 seconds.
Been.
It's upsetting.
Gila Point could have been the
this
hero.
This bitch and
this
I
movie.
Are on completely different spectrums.
But you know, like, okay, take a step back. You're doing a horror movie about somebody that's turning somebody into a walrus. The detective, you're gonna want to do more of the comedy shtick because you don't want it to just be a stupid, I mean,
he's
I
still
like,
want to be depressed the whole
I
time.
I like the playing up of the comedy shtick of it. Because you have to in this premise of the movie. And
he
the
did
high
one
is.
Or two too many pieces.
It was just a little heavy.
I will agree with that.
The accent was okay.
But I think it still is better with him doing more of a comedy than a serious badass detective.
I think he could have done both.
I love Johnny
Depp. He
didn't
Depp. Do both.
I love him.
He tried
I've
just
seen
doing
everything
guy.
He's
I think
done.
He could
and
have
I,
done
and
both.
I think you can say that like
I
as retrospective
him.
How well he how
I
well
don't
it was
love
done.
LaPointe.
But when you have the plot line of somebody a serial killer turning somebody into a walrus, you gotta play up a little bit more of the comedy to make to sell it.
But just
I
his mean, talk where he keeps on saying hockey player Gregory
hockey
Gumtree.
Player.
You know, he keeps,
hockey player.
And then they're in this restaurant, which is a
bad it's
kind
set. Of like a Whataburger or something.
Ooh,
but
the one thing I liked, the
who's
one thing
the waitress?
That's Kevin Smith's wife,
yes,
Jen.
Yes, yes.
Shout out
Jen
to Jen.
Jen Swalbuck is the waitress.
But plus one per diem.
We
watch, love you.
When you watch that scene with Jen in it, you look at the back kitchen. It's all dark back there. It's an obvious set. It's not. It doesn't look
they
like a restaurant
try.
At all.
They
no, they didn't
try
at all. They're in a room where they put like a menu board up, like written on, painted on wood.
Right.
And then there's nothing, no lights or nothing back there. It's like.
Again, look how the movie started from a podcast and fans saying, yes, we want but it. It didn't have that much money.
Couldn't
backing.
They have filmed into like a real location, you know, some Mexican restaurant or something and just,
a
you know.
A movie.
Something. Yeah. Just
for
anything.
That short of a scene. If you didn't have that much of a budget, I mean.
Why are you justifying how
they
cheap
stop
they are,
in.
Joey? I love Kevin Smith.
You stop in and do it.
I like cheap shit.
You stop
she's
in.
She's thrifty and
stop
she loves
in
Kevin
do
Smith.
Do it and get it
so
done. That's
all
you do.
It.
You just walk in with your actors and
I
your
know.
Director and your fucking
hey,
little tiny
I
camera.
I love, you know,
say, okay,
I
go.
Liked
boom.
This movie. I really did okay. like this movie.
Oh yeah, I did too.
It like tickled so many of my bones. It scratched so many of my itches that I loved.
It made me feel scared and sad.
Well, this is where, according to Mr. Guy LaPointe, he says that Wallace would be number 24.
Oh shit.
Oh, okay.
And,
makes sense.
And this is where
because
he explains.
He traveled a lot.
He explains what happens to these Mr. Tuss.
Right.
He's been following them since Quebec, at least.
Okay.
Maybe
right.
even longer.
A couple of years. A few years. How many years? A few.
Yeah, we're not sure. We're not sure how many years, but.
We know it's 2 years.
He tells
the
them what happens to them, how he cuts their legs off, and how he kind of makes them, I guess, we know now walrusy.
He didn't know it was yep. walrusy at the time.
Yeah, yeah, he's kind of explained it like that.
Monster.
Well, the Johnny did we go to the mother? He's turning him into an animal.
Yeah, it's coming a little later on.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But I'd be curious to know what... Okay, if you're some chick who loves Johnny Depp...
Right.
Okay.
Like me.
But and you're me. Not really a Kevin Smith guy.
I love, or girl. That's I not love me. Kevin Smith.
Okay, but no, say you are. Say you are. Say you're just some girl that loves Johnny Depp but doesn't really know Kevin Smith from right. the fucking hole in the ground.
So you're watching it because it's and, the Johnny
but
Depp
But you
movie.
Hear about that, oh, Johnny Depp's in this movie.
Right.
Well, I gotta watch this movie.
Which every terrible movie Johnny Depp has ever been in.
And you turn on Tusk. What do you think one of those girls would think?
You cry yourself to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, those
you
girls are going to
shut it off.
Those girls are going to try to pigeonhole Johnny Depp into their fantasy. And if you actually look at his career, he really likes pushing the envelope. He doesn't like being normal.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And especially with him
but
not being having
any sort of Academy Awards.
Oh, God, no. But it's he can do what he wants.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun. Let me play with them.
So it really would be much different than some of his other choices he's made, you think?
I don't know. Johnny Depp just teams it's up with Tim Burton, and then he just makes magic, and he doesn't win anything, but we all have a good time.
I mean, if you weren't a Kevin Smith fan, would this be the same, maybe, as some of his other stuff? Not his popular stuff, obviously, but, I mean, I know he has done other, you know, small independent things before.
Well, he's done the
like
first Nightmare
producing?
On Elm Street and Freddy's Dead.
No, that was
Dead.
Just his first movie.
You mean Johnny Depp?
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, he was the boyfriend.
And he was in Drop Dead Freddy's Dead. He did an homage to his first one in that. He's been on actually a lot of 21 Jump Street. He did a cameo. Actually, the remake of 21 Jump Street, the movie, I really liked his cameo and I really like how they did. It was a lot of comedy and a lot of homage.
No, Johnny Depp is all Jack Sparrow all day long. Okay, no. There has been 5 Pirates of the Caribbean movies. Literally, I saw Pirates of the Caribbean at like midnight and then less than 24 hours later I was married. And then last year I saw a Pirates of the Caribbean movie
on
my anniversary. 10 fucking years later, because that's all he fucking does. Disney owns Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp, he feels at home and becomes a butterfly when he does characters that aren't
himself.
Practical. Like the solemn, like innocent child of Edward Scissorhands.
Well,
and
interesting you should say that, because the box office on Johnny Depp greatly reflects him being in makeup or out of makeup.
Okay.
Oh,
his
so.
In makeup appearances are way higher than any of his
out of makeup.
Really?
Yes.
So people literally came out to this movie to see Johnny Depp?
No, that's not what I said. I said his career. I said Johnny Depp's career.
But,
his
is,
movies.
Is that
all
an
his
aspect
movies.
Of the makeup, or that the people are accepting more of an oddball character in makeup versus a person that looks more normal, quote unquote.
That's a good question. But I don't think he, even for someone who likes Johnny Depp's odd characters,
me,
is Gila Point.
I don't like him.
Yeah.
He's not likable.
Is he a likable Johnny Depp character,
he's awkward,
really?
And no. He's not cute and he's not charming.
No, yeah. He's not, but he's, I can
Edward Scissorhands was not cute, but he was still charming. He was like unarming. You're like, I want to
So Jolene, you're saying
I can see why he was
You're saying that's what he shot for. That's what he shot for.
I can see the aspect of where
I think
he should have
just let his kid do her movie and he didn't.
But I do like it was more of a comedy shtick of somebody that you're not supposed to take serious, because again, a lot of 90s and B horror movies, when everybody else dismiss it, the person that knows the most about it is not taken serious, is the quote unquote crazy person. I don't think he nailed it, but I liked that he went more of that direction than the serious detective.
I love Johnny Depp. He could father my children, and I have no children.
I
did not like him.
I understand where he was going for. Right. And right. I respect what he was going for.
Right,
how
right,
about that?
All right.
I don't like it.
Okay. We go back where...
We're two minds.
Mr. Johnny Depp, Gila Point. Who is an actual hockey player. I mean, Kevin Smith kind of says he kind of made up the name or got it from a podcast.
Who is he, Jason?
He's an actual real hockey player.
Who was Gila Point?
He played for the Canadiens for most of the 70s.
Montreal
Canadiens.
Canadiens.
And won several Stanley Cups in the
really?
70s with Montreal. He's a legends player. Gila Point was a... I mean, he retired in like 82, and I know who he is.
Go Kevin. That is hot. I like that.
But I don't think he's named after Gila Point.
No, you just think.
I think
Gila Point sounds a little too much like Pepe Le Pew to me.
That's exactly
and
what I'm getting
at. And it's almost more like Dr. Seuss.
I think Kevin just thought of a French-sounding hockey player kind of name.
Yes.
And in his back of his mind, he's heard Guy Lafleur before, because but he didn't really relate to it. It just kind of popped up, well, what about Guy Lafleur?
We know a, a guy named Guy. Guy.
And
we know a guy named Guy.
And it came out, and Guy Lafleur.
Yeah.
But he didn't know about the hockey player. It wasn't mentioned at all. But he tells a story of how he met Howard one day.
Yeah.
And he has this other flashback. Right. Where we have Howard with this weird...
Howard has a weird, house. Like, a redneck kind of, like, a...
Mushmouth accent, I called it.
Hold on. Hold on. That's another Johnny Depp film, but Johnny Depp's not the special needs guy. It's Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, they're Gilbert Grape.
Gilbert Grape. He's like a Gilbert Grape accent. He's like, I like spiders.
So you mean retard?
He...
Special needs.
Okay.
He just thinks he's a simpleton.
Yes. He has...
Childlike.
I called it a mushmouth accent. That's what I called it in my notes.
I thought it was Gilbert Grape.
You hear you kill the spider? I called somebody 2 days ago about the brown recruits. Are you gonna shoot the spider?
Right. So, Guy Lafleur ignores his special needs friend, not realizing that the hockey player is in the house the whole time.
But if you met somebody talking with that much of a list, asking if you were going to shoot with a handgun a spider.
That he called 911 about.
That he called, yeah. Would you really take him serious? Would you, or would you just kind of blow him off as a simpleton? I had a customer that would actually ask me, do my hands smell like BM? I think they're okay.
You know what? Yes, you know what you're dealing with, but... You're also looking for some information,
you're
so you're
going to
wait and see what this guy's going to say next.
As a cop, I should further investigate.
You're going to wait and see what this guy's going to say.
But your interaction with the cops interact with a lot of people, though.
He
they make a lot more
go,
quick
He should have still gone in the house.
Judgment.
He didn't go in the house. He should have said, is there another adult on the premises? He should have said, do you have a sister or a friend who's here to help you?
I would have treated him differently, but I've seen a lot of people treat people that are differently
I would not have
abled.
Been defaming. I would not have been cruel or unkind.
But I've seen a lot of adults. I've seen a lot of adults that don't want to deal with it, so they just treat
as a healthcare professional, I would be looking for a power of attorney. With him, I would be looking for another adult or adult who is watching him on that premise.
Well, Kevin Smith originally wanted him to do a Canadian accent, be like Canadian hardcore
but
Canadian
he
guy.
Do it?
No,
he
no.
Didn't know, or...
Yeah, Uber.
No, he's done it. He didn't want to do it because he did it in Twin Peaks. He was a Canadian smuggler.
Twin Peaks.
Yeah. He was.
We remember Twin Peaks. We're old enough.
Yeah, that's Michael Parks in that. So he didn't want to do that again, so he had this voice that he threw out.
Does anybody have a Michael Parks album?
I think it was way more dismissive and easily looked over.
It was. And he admits that.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm just saying.
They start talking back and forth, and Guy is looking for this hockey player.
Yeah.
Gregory Gumtree.
Yeah.
Which both those words, Gumtree was the name of the website.
Oh, that's back to
where they got
earlier.
The story from. And
I do love that. I love that. Kevin Smith does a lot of
that. A lot of throwback.
Yeah.
And even Gregory was the name of the very original story. It was the walrus, the first walrus.
Was it Mr. Tusk? He was
his best friend. His best friend, original best friend, was Gregory.
Gregory.
The walrus. Yeah. And so it was Gregory Gumtree, the hockey player. Michael Parks, Howard Wallace, he's calls himself by the name of Bartholomew Mosier.
Mosier.
There it is again.
Which is the doctor's name.
Yes. And right. Scott Mosier, the...
Yeah,
Kevin's longtime friend and producer, yes.
When he's talking
but
to
he just
ones.
Wants them to kill the spider. And this one, Guy says he's just I'm just a lowly homicide detective. And I'm not paid enough to handle these savage animals.
Spiders.
And that's when Howard looks
wasn't
at him.
Authorized to discharge his weapon at a spider, an insect.
No, but then Howard says to him, he says, human beings are the real
savage
animals. And
that's pretty insightful.
That's when you kind of look at him like going, okay.
He's not as special as he appears.
I've thought that since like seventh grade though.
What?
That this movie, you saw this movie in seventh grade?
No, that humans are the real savages.
Yes. I mean, yeah, we could talk about that all night, but
wax intellectual on how shitty people are.
I'm like, I hate people. Dogs are cool.
People are dumb.
Yeah, we are assholes.
Except for
yeah.
my dogs. My dogs are not cool.
I like your dogs.
You don't live with them.
Anyways.
On all that right. note, I'm so
he let him go.
Shots.
He like was really distraught because that guy was probably in that house and he just
right, but
just
he missed it. So he's telling the kids the story of how he thought that fucking Howard Howe was special needs and he fucking missed a scoop.
Well, he tells them about the ice rink and the team he works on and Poutine Weenie's over there.
Poutine Weenie. Okay, poutine is delicious. So poutine is French fries.
Different from poutine.
Cheese poutine is lady pussy.
Huh.
Poutine is a Canadian delicacy. Okay, so it's French fries. And then it's cheese
fried
curds,
cheese
not
curds.
Breaded. Not breaded cheese curds. White, but they're warm cheese curds. And
gravy.
Then brown gravy. And sometimes if you're special, there's bacon or there's pulled pork on top of them.
Hmm.
It's fucking delicious. Oh, it's my precious. It's
cheese
fucking
and gravy.
Amazing. Cheese and gravy on top of anything is delicious. Poutine is a Canadian delicacy.
We're not talking about poutine.
So poutine weenies.
Poutine weenies was a place.
Poutine weenies, right?
Right. He made that up.
Poutine
That's not a real place in Canada. And that makes us sad.
Even the subtitles. I watched the movie with the subtitles on. And when he says, poutine weenies, it doesn't have anything for that.
Poutine weenies.
It just said gibberish.
It says poutine weenies, and that's all it says.
Dot, dot, dot.
I don't know why we did a shot for poutine weenies, but.
Poutine weenies. Because poutine is fucking delicious.
That shot of orange jello was sponsored by Poutine Weenies on the corner of Clark and North.
No.
Stop by tonight for some poutine weenies.
Okay.
Cheese curds.
Now back to Tusk. They found the body of Gregory Gumtree. And he talks about what happened to him and how he was found.
Which is
wasn't
bad
good.
For Greg.
Yeah, yeah. It's not,
but his face had been modified.
His denture, yeah.
Yeah, they had ripped teeth out.
Well, yeah, he talks about that, yeah.
He specified.
How he was
mutilated.
Legs were cut off. Yeah. Arms were sewn together. Like
sewn a
T-Rex.
Like a T-Rex. Rare.
And then he goes, but he has a discussion with his mother. He's like, you know him.
Gregory Gumtree's mother.
Yeah, Johnny Depp.
She's like, he's turned into a monster.
Yeah, he's like, what do you, like, you know him better than anybody else. What do you think they were doing to your son?
He's turning him into a monster. An animal. She was so insightful. She had no idea.
So then we cut over to this warming shot of Howard and Wallace sitting side by side.
Oh, as him friends. Laying on him kind of like a
and
cub.
They're talking.
Lounging,
yes.
If you will.
Howard sings to him.
Friendship is
rare. Wallace is crying.
What
you know, he lays up against him. Everything's going good. Howard gets up. He feeds him a mackerel.
Right, and this is the first time you see him being a walrus.
Is this the final step or the first step? Is there
no,
more steps?
No, there. I mean, there's more.
Well,
steps.
When
there's
does
more
he
steps,
like? When does he go swimming with them?
But
we did that already.
We
yeah,
did that
he
already.
He swam.
He
already.
Swam
well, no,
with
there
them.
There was two parts. There was one where he dragged him under. And
oh no, they didn't
part
take a bath together yet.
Where they go swimming and it looks
they
like
take a
he's,
bath together later.
It
on.
Looks like he puts his
yeah,
head in the water and it totally looks like a push.
Howard Howe is a head pusher.
We're getting to that one. We're getting to that one.
He's a head pusher. It's not cool.
Howard Howe is a head pusher.
So we go back to Allie and Teddy and Guy. They hop in the car.
Right.
They're gotta
they're
go somewhere.
Adventuring.
And like the music, the doom doom.
And Guy
they're,
talks
they're on
about
on the right track.
Yeah.
And Guy's talking about driving habits. It's like, okay, what does he do? What does he do? And he says what he likes
he
to do.
He drinks that big gulp.
No. Well, Guy says, I do a double-double
with 17
eight,
sugars.
Wait, with 8 sugars and a dash
okay,
of cream.
I understand that reference.
What is wrong with that?
Okay, no,
Nadia,
that's a good
tell
thing.
Me what's wrong
okay,
with that.
So that is Tim Hortons. That's a Tim Hortons reference, right?
Well,
so a double-double.
Double-double is a common coffee house.
Right. But a double-double, but Tim Hortons, okay, in Canada.
Okay.
Is a coffee shop based on, and it's Tim Hortons, he was a hockey player. Right? So a double-double. Okay, I've done a Gretzky at Tim Hortons, which is a double double with 9 sugars and 9 creams for 99, his number. So.
Okay.
Yeah. It's delicious. It's delicious and you're fucking wired.
Okay, go.
Okay. So he says a double double with what is it, 8 sugars?
8 sugars and a dash of cream.
And a dash of cream.
They find out what he drinks. They're talking about what they drink. And he drank
Everybody has
big,
like,
goofy convenience store drinks.
Yeah, everybody has like a road trip the gulp, ritual.
Like the 44
like
ounce,
the bottle of Crown Royal blasters. That you brought in.
The, yeah, your it's Crown Royal is the big it. Gulp of Crown Royals. It had a handle. It was
so
a
then they
jug
go,
of Crown.
They go to the Colleens. They go to
the Colleens.
A and A to Z. Like A to Z.
I did like that.
A to Z.
In Canada.
I liked that.
Z does not end with Z. In yeah. Canada, Z ends with Z. And we learned about that actually in a Spice Girl song back in the early 2000s. Because okay. they said A to Z.
But we get the girls, and the girls did fine. The girls did fine in Yoga Hosers. The movie was shit. The girls did
yeah.
great.
No, I concur.
And the girls did great in this
They're
too.
They're young. Well, it yeah. was fine.
Yeah, they did fine.
They didn't do
it was
bad
total
though.
A no, fuck off movie. It was a fuck off movie for his daughter yeah. and a friend. And that's all that movie was.
But they remember what they later call Mustache Man. They remember
porn
him.
Mustache, yeah.
They remember him asking for directions to Bitfrost.
Which is Bitfrost. Like two hours away, away man.
Well, it's a are. Long way.
Oh, that's
like 2 hours.
Yeah, that's far away, man. That's about 2 hours. A girl say it's a boot.
It's about 2 hours.
It's a boot. Is that too
I
late?
I fucking hate Americans.
But then they remember so much that the Colleens are going, and he wrote down the address, eh?
Yeah.
So right. much and that Guy's like, give me that pad of paper.
And he does the, like, the nice.
He does
like,
the Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski trick.
The Big Lebowski. Which is the great. Pencil.
Which,
now,
what's
big,
wrong with this?
Okay, in the Big rubbing. Lebowski, though, he, all he did was, he uncovered a dick, which actually was a duck. Right?
But the trick worked though.
Yeah. It was yeah. the trick worked, but there was no wording. There was a picture of a dick.
It was like
well, it doesn't
two
matter the
are...
wording. He got what was he got something.
He right. got the necessary information
to he got what he wrote.
Yeah.
Well, he got what he wrote down.
Point got what he needed. But in the Big Lebowski, he did not get what
Woody
he needed.
Woody just knocked over a whole bunch of empties.
My cat that's, knows how to party.
That's good radio.
He's almost
well,
18.
But the problem with this one is that I'm going to go for, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
We're going to take a Woody break.
Never break the shit. Is that even Fleetwood Mac? I don't even know.
Hey, Fleetwood Mac.
Hey,
song before the movie though?
No.
Me neither.
Not at all.
And I knew
I'm not
I knew,
super familiar with Fleetwood Mac.
You know, maybe. Fleetwood yeah. Mac.
Well, I mean,
I mean, like South Park making fun of Stevie Nicks making goat noises like bah bah. How many bah bah bah. You know.
I mean, what was the big album was Rumors. And that one that, I know like most songs from that album, but this one I never even heard before. And when
they actually have a lot of good albums, but this like Rumors is the only album that like was
critically acclaimed.
Well, that's the only one that hey, everybody knows these ones, so we'll only play these songs.
Did you know this song before the movie, Jolene?
Not this particular one.
Right.
I believe this is from like a 82 album, I think.
I thought it was really good.
Early
it was 80s. Very appropriate with
it had when, the feel. It had the feel.
Well, really did it? I don't think so.
Because it cut away of the walrus fight and them trying to find Wallace.
So it was high energy.
And with the drum beat is very high energy, and I thought it worked. I thought it worked.
Your heart's racing, bum bum bum.
I thought
bum.
It wasn't predictable, but it worked.
Yeah.
It was not predictable.
I guess this song, you know, by Fleetwood Mac. Cost kind of spent most of his budget. He
really?
Said he spent more on
because
this song than he did for the costume, the walrus outfit. It
wow.
cost him more for the song.
I believe. I do believe that.
Yeah.
Is it worth
that,
it? I don't
that
think
outfit
it's worth
was
it.
Rough. The sutures were not great.
Could
you
have been better.
They like,
I could have done better.
They
Whoa.
Played.
Whoa. Whoa, 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 wait.
Jolene and I have actually talked about reconstructing a walrus outfit. We've talked about taking a trip to Joann Fabrics.
I never said I could do better.
But I think you could.
I like the prosthetics.
I think you could make a pretty...
It would
put me inside it, baby.
It would take a lot of work.
We talked about this. We actually talked about me going full walrus.
I thought it was a very
was so upset
movie,
and
though.
So
the stitches and less the blood. The
right,
less blood.
Less blood.
The stitches.
Right.
It was
tight, tight stitches. But it's never good to submerge a wound, so.
Says Nurse Nadia.
You know what? You were very distraught after this movie.
I'm still distraught to this day.
And then like 3 months afterwards, she's like, you could build me a walrus costume and I could be that for Halloween.
I just want to have this scrotum head.
I'm just glad you came to terms with it.
I have a lot of faith in your ability too. Anything I bring before you, you're like, I got this. You're quite the seamstress.
Okay, Tusk.
Back to Tusk.
Because Howe and Wallace are in the pool and, well, things are going on and getting on with them and, yeah. Did you want to talk about the one scene where he tries to drown him?
The blowjob scene?
Is it that he's trying to drown him?
Yes.
Or is he trying to put his cock in his mouth?
No.
He's naked.
Yeah, we do find out later he is naked, but.
And with his history of being, like, molested through the mouth and the anus.
Right.
Well, Kevin Smith says that no.
That
he's
it's
not
no.
Being
because
blessed.
Like
that he's holding him down, kind of drown him, not all the way, drown him a bit, you know.
Right, to teach him
but
how
he's
to hold
very
his crotch
level.
Tighten up a little bit.
Too crotch level.
He's very crotch level, and the next time
I still
that
find it threatening.
Wallace is screaming, he like has this drool coming out of his mouth that looks very semen-esque.
Right, if you find it threatening.
Alright, interesting.
Right. Anytime you hold me underwater near your crotch,
it like holds a little
I'm uncomfortable.
Looks kinda like
right,
semen is coming out of his mouth a little bit.
It's uncomfortable.
Like it could be panic drool mixed with seawater, okay. Or it could be semen.
Even if he wasn't forced to blow him.
And
the
because
point is that he held his head underwater
but
next to his dick
knowing
for
knowing
an X amount
his
of time that was
uncomfortable. Of how he was abused.
Well, and well looking
and
at Wallace and Allie, him
pushing
him her
pushing
blowing
her
him.
Head, right. So this kinda, is karmic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't make
parallel.
It right. It doesn't make it right.
I can totally see that.
And because of the I love you but I need to kill you
ooh,
relationship
bombs,
hey. With the Rawlers, it could very go either way. It very much could go either way.
It was nobody was
happy. You're
my savior,
but I have to kill you
Howard
too.
Howe.
Okay, I give you that. He could have went that way. Yes,
and
definitely.
If you rewatch the movie, there's a thing, something coming out of his mouth of him
scaring,
and it really could have been semen or
it was
panic drool mixed with seawater.
But they get to the big climax here where the Tusk song kicks in, and Howe says that he feels guilt from killing the original Mr. Tusk.
Right.
And eating him. Like, what was it, an hour
delicious.
Before, his...
He got saved.
He got saved, yeah.
He killed him and
he
then an hour after
he
was eating the
saved.
Bloody flesh, he got saved.
Desperation kicked in, survival mode
but,
kicked in. He didn't know he was gonna be saved an hour later.
And Howard Howe's
yes,
mind,
but
it's
still,
almost like
it
his,
still happened.
He's like giving him
it still
homage.
Happened to this poor guy.
Yeah. He's like giving him homage, but also like a chance to fight back. Like, do you really go, like, do you want to go into the mentality
okay, so,
of a little
so,
bit
so
of
are we getting into Howard House walrus outfit? Is that what
like,
we're getting into
it,
right
it,
now?
It
he's giving
like,
him a fighting chance.
It right. seems like he's
they're
trying
both
to justify his whole
he's
years
in this
of torturing people and turning them into this monstrous walrus is him like trying to justify him killing a walrus that saved his life, kind of. It does seem like that.
Nadia, do you have any facts on walruses?
Do I?
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, you're no Danielle.
I'm no. Who the fuck is Danielle?
Did nobody else
your wife?
Pick that up?
You're
yes.
not talking about Danny?
Yes, she
nobody
would have.
Nobody ever calls her Danielle.
On the show, we always call her the lovely Danielle.
Oh.
Yeah, she would always
I
have facts up.
More.
She'd have facts up going.
I have no walrus facts. I'm not prepared.
She'd say a walrus is a mammal?
It is. It's a mammal.
But it, the
ding,
whole,
ding, ding. Got one.
But it's the whole scenario
mammal.
That he's setting
where's
up,
it live?
Seems like
I
he's trying to justify Arctic. That it was okay of him trying to kill
they're
me,
very blubbery.
The
I think it's in cold conditions.
Him. during
which
the
side
ship,
though?
During the shipwreck.
Both or what?
Arctic or Antarctic?
Yeah, is it?
I'm gonna go with Arctic.
Which
that's
one has
a
the
guess,
polar bears?
Right?
Yeah, that's a guess.
North.
Which one has
that's
the polar
the
bears
one.
And which one has the penguins?
I think the north has the polar bears and the south has the penguins, but I'm not positive, but
Danny?
That's my guess.
Danny, we need you.
I've been drinking too much.
Anyways. Drinking too much.
Anyways. So, it seems like he's like trying to toughen him up, but like trying to submerge him in water, but it kind of looks like he's trying to like be a head pusher and like make him suck his dick. The
but we're up at the fight though.
Right,
really
so
now.
We,
we're at the fight
we've escalated.
Now.
We've escalated.
We're at the fight.
We talked to that.
Yeah,
we. Well, we were just talking about that.
How is in that loose walrus costume now, and he's fighting him, and they're bouncing back and forth. They have the projection on the
he's
wall
like,
going.
Meanwhile, Allie and Ted are running through the house trying to catch up.
They hear
and then to the
they
house.
Hear.
The shrieks.
And the big gun.
That's gotta be Wallace.
The big, the
that's
huge,
him, all right.
The huge 64 ounce cup is still always in the pen with Walrus.
The big gulp.
The
big
gulp,
gulp of life.
Is there.
Yes. Yeah.
It is,
it is
there.
Always there.
It is always there.
And this is when
I don't know if that's like supposed to be like some
so,
kind
but
of.
But here's when
Wal-
this is when Wallace goes full
Wallace.
Well, not quite
almost.
Yet.
Almost.
Because House says he will
he's
have to
man.
Go full Walrus or
and,
die.
Or die.
That's when he tells
and
him.
Is
he's
when
like,
Wallace
anybody like
strips out. This is when Howard Howe strips out of his costume.
He has a full Walrus,
his Walrus
costume.
He stands up. And he's like, I'm superior to you because I'm
a
right. man.
There's a little
naked.
Bit. There's a little part of this movie that irritates me a little bit.
Go
the
on.
Howard House costume of the walrus, his tusks were way smaller than the tusks.
Well, they're up
he,
on top of his head for one.
And they're like half the diameter, maybe
his
a third of the diameter of the tusks.
This is cosplay
that he actually installs in the walrus. So I'm like.
Just
are you trying to set yourself up for failure, or aren't
based
you?
Based on his femur.
If you go back, his tusks are way
right,
smaller.
He was gonna go
than
human
any
and
of the
win.
Walruses that he made.
But Howe tells him, he tells him he's been lasted longer than the rest.
Right. Yeah.
Howe admits that. He's like, okay,
he
you've
he's
been
like,
kicking
you
ass,
top
dude.
Notch.
Yeah.
And this
if
is when,
anybody's
and
gonna
then he
kill
says,
me or beat me, it's gonna be you.
And that this is when he changes. He says, this is when my survival instincts kick in. And that's when he changes into a man. No,
he
no,
goes naked
no.
Human.
Howard Howe goes to being
human.
A regular man
and
like,
rips
stands
off
and stands up
the human-made walrus suit that he made
right.
himself.
Yeah, and then he changed.
That the tusks were really too small.
And that's when Wallace, the walrus,
was
like jabs him in the foot.
Shit.
Well, he's jabbing the foot, isn't it the foot?
Yeah, it is the foot.
First
which
time he gets
just
in the
like
foot.
True Romance and
the
fucking
and
the
chick
and the
foot. The Sopranos.
Yeah.
In the foot. The corkscrew.
That's great.
Yeah,
great.
That's great.
You love when you fucking damage your foot. Nobody
we
got to
do that movie. That's a good movie to do.
True Romance is a
there's,
good movie.
True
there's
Romance
so
is
many.
Brad Pitt. There's so
I
many
love,
great players.
Oh, Christian Slater.
There's
Christian Slater.
So many
it's a
people
good film.
In there.
It's a great fucking
Gary
movie.
Gary Oldman. Oh, man.
So
yeah.
But we digress.
Tarantino?
So we've got a walrus tusk in the foot. And Howard Howard's like, oh, I'm not winning.
He goes down, yeah. And Wallace gets up there, and that's when he
starts
pounding
him in the chest.
And the guts.
And see, if they would have taken the whole film till now, not shown anything close up or anything like full.
You
like
think
just
it
would have
been better
pieces,
for you?
Yeah.
And then now they show
the
him.
Full walrus.
That shot of him like up on top with his fucking claws
right.
coming, or his tusk
looking
coming down.
All inhuman. Yeah.
That shot just showing that like close
I
up.
I agree.
No, I get it.
And
I
then later
it.
On showed the hole in the white. The
that
light. Would have
been less camp and more.
It would much
fear.
Darker.
No,
yeah.
I get it. But like again, the plot line of you're turning somebody into a walrus and what you're trying to pay homage to is the late '80s. Early 90s
camp.
B-horror movies where it was
I don't
a
think
lot
he's paying homage to those. I think those, I think the movies you're talking about are just homages to every other generation. Mm. I think it's just an ongoing thing of weird movies. That's all this is. It's not an homage to anything like historical. I think people have always tried to do weird movies and this is another example of it. I mean, can you name an 80s movie this is like? Can you name any movie this is like?
The Thing.
But the comedy aspect of it. Have you seen The Thing? The blood aspect of it.
Been a long time.
The recreating of re-sewing body parts together is very...
Human Centipede.
Or Basket Case, or a lot of other 80s, late 80s, early 90s movies.
But Human Centipede was in the aughts. It was just, you know... And Kevin Smith does admit that this is Human Centipede. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
He says, yep, I kind of ripped it off a little bit, you know.
Yeah. See, no.
He totally, like, fesses up to whatever he...
Well, that's good. At least he's honest.
Well, and well, it's kind of evident in the podcast.
But the scenery that
you're
talking about is, like, making it more of a serious horror movie, and how can you make a... turning somebody into a walrus a serious horror movie?
It was still pretty horrifying.
True.
No, yeah. But so I appreciate the aspect that they went to
horrified.
I like that. It tickles my bone. It's what I grew up on. I get it. You can't make it too serious. I loved how he did it. It was great. Like, going back, like, yeah, you probably could have made it a serious, made it a horror, like...
I just mainly go back to that one shot of him when they do the pullback shot of the...
And
no,
layers.
The pullback shot of the walrus with the spotlight on him.
Yeah.
And he's there, and you pull back and look at this whole body and everything sitting there.
No, was, my husband says,
like,
the same
don't
exact
show us
thing.
The whole thing.
Do it more in the shadows, do a little bit of inkling,
yes.
And pull it out. Yeah,
much darker. That would have set it up and been really nice. But now we see the, where are we at? The battle? Are they between the two of them? No, he kills him already.
Yeah.
He fucking gets him down, he gets him in the chest, bah, 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 with his fucking tusks.
Yep.
And
in
the fucking Howard's chest.
His girlfriend and his friend finally find him.
And Hal goes down, and his last words are, "It is accomplished. You are my Mr. Tusk."
Yep.
Creepy. And that's when Allie and Teddy walk in with their little tiny guns.
And Johnny Depp's character.
Well, he's a little behind them. Now he's knocking over the microphone.
But he's the one that wants to, like, shoot him.
Well, yeah, but Allie and Teddy walk in first. They walk in and Wallace is full walrus.
Walrus.
Now.
He's gone full
he's
walrus.
Rah, 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 rah,
rah. Can't go back now.
And this is when, and then Guy comes in right after them. I don't know why he was behind them. I guess he's behind the whole time, because what happened?
They're pedestrians, and they're, like, just going towards the noise. He's, like, looking at the corners and making sure nobody's out, like, trying to make sure it's a trap a little bit. He's got more of a cop aspect of it.
So he's being more cautious and
he's being a little more
cautious,
like, checking out, making sure they're not just traps. Versus, hey, I hear a noise, I'm just gonna run blindly to it, which is very much his girlfriend and Teddy is what they're doing. They're just riding, running blindly to it. He's supposed to be a detective.
Okay, so they ran right in the house, ran right
he's
down,
like,
and running around.
Minute,
yeah, okay,
let's,
all right.
Let's actually assess the situation before you just run blindly into it. Maybe, that's what I can see.
That's a damn good reply.
Okay.
That's perfect. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Totally.
Yeah.
So, well, you told me.
You're like, I'm going to bash this film right here and there, but wait a minute. There kind of has a logic to that.
But he is full walrus.
He is full walrus.
Guy LaPointe pulls his big ass
like
nasty
gonna,
shotgun
like,
out.
He's an animal. He's not human. We should just take him out of his misery.
I would have killed him.
Yeah, we probably should. You know.
But like, look at the movie. Like, he finally is like, wait a minute. No, I'm going to fight Howard Howe and kill him because I want to live and not let him. And then like,
and
as soon as
that. And not let anybody else experience the horror that I've experienced. I'm going to end
like,
this here.
You actually finally,
first,
you build up, you go full walrus to kill the motherfucker that kept you captive. And then you find the fight, and then you're just gonna have somebody kill you.
When LaPointe is
immediately afterwards,
and he's going, ah!
Well, and then
to me, he's saying, "Kill me, just kill me."
He might be, but then Allie's yelling, "No, no, no!" Her yelling.
There's some.
That's when you think that okay, it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
But Guy LaPointe looks badass there. Why can't he be that badass through the rest of the other parts of the movie?
Yeah.
I wish he would have been tougher, just like cooler. Not so much of a fucking dummy.
Yeah. Not the comic shtick.
But yeah, he's ready to fit.
Or
shoot
trying
him,
too hard to be the
and
comic
And it fades
shtick.
Out to nothing. I guess we're taking a quick break. This is let's get back to the movie, because we're almost done with this thing.
Yes.
We are 1 year later, because we saw...
Wallace.
Well, we saw Gila. Gila Point about ready to shoot Wallace. He has gun out and ready, and Allie's yelling, no, 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 no. We fade to black, so we're not sure what happens.
Yeah.
We cut to 1 year later, so we assume he didn't shoot, because it's 1 year later. And
an exotic animal park.
And they're at the, it's called the Manitoba Exotic Animal Sanctuary. And...
Allie's got something wrapped in a newspaper. They like park. She's got something wrapped in a newspaper. You kind of know what it is, but you
you're
don't.
Walking. Yeah, and that was something that was from the original podcast.
Oh yeah, she brings
Scott,
them a fish.
Scott Mosier mentions that, like, oh yeah, you bring her something. It's wrapped in a newspaper. You don't know what it is.
Very,
it's
very like Seattle, like throw the whole fish to you, wrap it in newspaper.
That was a long throw though, didn't you think? From the first shot, it looks pretty far away. And then it's just
and they just
it. Kind of like,
toss it and it like lands right
there
in front of like the igloo.
Yeah,
it's
that
like
was a little
the dog house that he stayed in. Like, okay, it was an igloo shaped dog house that they kept him in.
Oh yeah,
it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, and what was sitting outside?
The Big Gulp Club. The Big Gulp Club. It's, he still had his one piece of humanity.
That's when I noticed
which
it.
Is oh. It was like a staple throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that.
No, it was.
I noticed
like
at
his
the end,
first
but...
meal, the first time he was in the wheelchair, he brought it to him. The first time that he was in his makeshift pen in the basement or whatever, it was always there. It was almost like his one thread of humanity that kept through him. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It was weird though.
Yeah.
It was
well, and then at the end you see around his, there's also the beach ball. That yep. was in the pool
floating
area.
In the pool.
And then...
And he cries a tear, and you go back to Allie yeah. doing a story saying that, like, she cried during her grandmother's funeral, and her, like, grandpa goes, no, no, baby, it's
he said,
okay.
It's good to cry.
It's good to cry.
It separates
that's what
us from the animals.
From the animals. And
yes,
then he's like...
I wrote that down.
She, like, throws the fish, and she's like, Wallace!
And then Wallace
you.
Cries.
And he does one single, one the one lonely, here. You know, like the eight, late 80s, early 90s commercial where you like litter and like the Indian dries.
Oh,
like,
that was
cries.
Long. I was older than that,
one,
but yeah.
The one teardrop, he does the one teardrop like, I'm still a human, but I'm going to eat this raw fish anyways. Nom nom.
And that does it for,
Tusk.
For Tusk.
And that's based on a true story just because some fucktard.
Well, it's not a true story. It was a hoax.
It was a hoax.
It was
but
a hoax.
Because if
it was
you
based
watched,
on an article they read online.
But because it had that one shred that somebody actually did, submitted a story to a classified, they were able to say it's based on a true story. So if you read the
no,
credits.
No. No.
It says based on a true or based on a true story.
No, no.
The end of
no.
the beginning.
Oh, now he's counting out. No, it's it was
or inspired by a true story.
No, it's based on the podcast. Based on story, because no,
if
cause
you read the credits, it says
the guy who wrote the article became an executive producer or producer, maybe just a producer. They took him on. He's a producer in the movie. He's also seen in the shot of Teddy and Allie in the H bar looking for Wallace. He's sitting at the bar. He's the guy who originally wrote the story, submitted it as a hoax, and got picked up.
No, I get that.
He got hired on by Kevin Smith as a producer of the movie.
But
give
if
some
you
movie
actually
for
watch
fee,
the credits, it actually says based or either based or inspired by a true story.
Inspired by the podcast episode, it says.
It's no, it just says true story because it was the original, they did the classified thing. If you rewatch it, it says either based or inspired by a true story.
Okay, let us know at drunkfilmcommentary at yahoo.com or tweet walrus yes or...
We just watched it on Thursday.
Tweet walrus no. But, oh, all right, no. So we watched the movie. It's time to rate the movie. So we rate our movie based on how many beers we would like to give our movie. We can go as small as maybe just a little tapper. We can go as high as a fucking full keg. So who would like to bring it out? Jolene, would you like to bring out your rating?
I'll do a case.
A case, huh? All right.
I enjoyed it. I highly enjoyed it.
All right. Nadia, what do you think?
Oh, I only gave it a 12-pack.
That's it, huh?
No, I don't want to go full walrus. It made me sad.
You made you cry twice, and then you threw up a third time.
I threw up recently.
It's okay. It's DFC. It's fine.
I don't want to go full walrus.
We've been there.
Yeah. A 12-pack.
But you're not crying this time.
I'm not crying.
That's
good. I'm just nauseous.
But why did you cry before?
It's just so sad. Like,
nobody wins.
Like,
Haley Joel Osment kind of wins.
Well, he kind of wins because he gets
a dick too, though.
Right, but he gets a girl, like, consequence free.
But he wins.
Because his buddy went full walrus.
He
went
by
being a dick.
The
walrus doesn't win. Yeah. The walrus maker doesn't win because he dies. The walrus doesn't win because he's a walrus. LaPlante doesn't win because another victim was fucking mutilated.
Howard Howe dies.
Howard Howe doesn't win because he's dead. Allie doesn't win.
Wait, doesn't Howard Howe win? Really?
No, he's dead.
That's kind of a win.
But didn't he know he was going
to
die?
He wanted to die.
Didn't he know that
he was hoping every walrus that he made the one would be his last.
Didn't he say at the end that you are going, if you either can kill me or you can go full walrus and kill me. Yeah. That was his
choice. You can die.
That was the options he gave him. You die or go full. And he's like, he's like kind of thinking, if you go full walrus, then I win.
But was that not just all Howard Howe's guilt of like killing his savior when he was trapped on that little island?
Well,
yes, it was.
Yeah, that all it was. That's his whole like torturing and dismembering and mangling people was trying to justify him being like killing his only savior. That's all the whole movie was about.
And how many people had to learn that lesson for him?
Well,
that's horrifying.
Isn't that like, tale is the only time for religion? I mean, that's how many times has that been played out?
So back to my earlier question.
Okay, yes.
Which character can you root for here? I mean, is there any character worthy?
The one that I like the most, like personality, like he's a quote unquote good guy. Would be the customs guy. Like, we're not good, we're optimistic, eh? Like, blue sadness was invented by the US of A, you know? You see that great white air, like, maple leaf? We're red, white, and blue, but we're red, white, but never blue.
I guess I gotta forgive the point, even though I'm not.
I did like Gila Point as well.
I'm not really happy with Johnny Depp's performance.
No, I get it.
There's a lot of shit I don't like about that guy. But I guess he is the one dude. They could have made a few tweaks and made him not so dorky. He could have been more of a badass kind of funny. Instead of a dorky kind of funny. You know?
I get why they're going for the dorky kind of funny.
Yeah. Do you?
No, I do.
What is it? I don't know.
We already said that and you said you like that, my point of view.
Okay, well, I still like it. All right.
Because again, look for it. Like any of like the late 80s, early 90s movie, like the only person like everybody dismissed, but the person that actually knew a little inkling was kind of crazy a little bit. And again, this plot line of turning somebody into a walrus, you're going to like want a comic stick, not like a serious detective.
I didn't rate this shit.
I liked it. I enjoyed it.
You know what? I liked it more. I think I like it more every time I see it. Because we saw it in the theater. I was like, alright, this is fucked up. Okay. It came on video and I bought it. I have a Kevin Smith signed Blu-ray, actually.
All three of us do.
Yeah,
well,
we all got it.
Yeah,
yes. That was awesome. That was a good gift.
No, I love that. Yeah.
So that's what I watched today. And
I love like B horror movies where it's more comedy almost more than horror. And it like hit everything of that, but like wasn't predictable of him.
Yeah.
Give me everything that I wanted.
Yeah. 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 It was interesting. Michael Parks was awesome.
He's a great, crazy dude.
He was awesome. You know, rest in peace, Michael Parks. He was great. Probably his best role, even more so than Red State. And he was awesome in Red State, too.
I don't know if he's better than Red State.
I think he was better. I think Red State was
I don't know. I think he was actually almost a little bit creepier, crazier in Red State. than this one.
Yeah, yeah, he was pretty good. So he we'll really talk about that in our next episode where we talk about the top five Kevin Smith movies. I guess we're about done here, huh? Oh, my rating was a case. I'll give it.
I gave it a case.
I'm giving it a case as well. It's good. He's getting better. It just, if you want to watch a movie about a guy who turns another guy into a walrus, then this is the movie. Kevin Smith delivered exactly what he promised.
Oh yeah. And it's like, if you love the kind of cheeky, cheesy B horror where it's almost comedy, it's right up your alley. Enough gore, but a little bit of comedy shtick. You love and hate everybody.
All right. Hey, thanks for tuning in. DrunkFilmCommentary@yahoo.com. Later. That's a little bit of Bad Religion from the Clerks soundtrack. And that brings us to our top five Kevin Smith movies, which we have done in the past on our podcast. You were not part of that. It was me, Danielle.
I was not invited to that party.
This is a couple years back, so it's been a while. And I did not listen back to see what my top five were. So
you repicked your top five. You're not sure if it's congruent to the first one or not.
Not sure. I'm guessing it might be pretty close, but it might not be exact. So
I went a little bit off the cusp.
All right. I'm curious to hear what you have. So why don't you start out? What's your number five Kevin Smith movie?
My number five Kevin Smith movie is actually one that we just did a podcast. Oh my God, I'm a little drunk.
A cod pass. I love cod pass.
A cod pass. I made an awesome podcast, which is actually was Tusk. I liked it. I liked his take on the horror genre.
Yeah.
How it was a little bit more comedy. It like hit every, like I like horror movies. I like the B horror movies. I like the cult classics. I like the ones that are a little bit off the cusp. Don't really make sense. A lot of people will say are bad movies. So I really enjoyed Tusk. Like how all of us went out and saw it.
Yeah, it was cool.
The premise, how it was made, the actually prosthetics that they actually showed you. I liked it all. I liked it.
I give you that. Tusk was great. Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. It was awesome. All right. Okay. Cool. It did not make my number five because,
there's so many other Kevin Smith movies. No, I get it.
My number five was a flip-flop going back and forth. And the last minute, I'm going to say the number five is Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
Okay.
Because it was Kevin Smith going out of his range. He's
a little bit out of his realm.
He was trying to do a big Seth Rogen movie because Seth Rogen was huge and hot. And it didn't work for him, but the movie itself is
Elizabeth Banks, though. I really like Elizabeth Banks. She's hot, but she likes comedy.
She'll do stupid stuff, and it's cool.
I like that. I like that she's not just pigeonhole or pegging herself as the hot blonde, which she could very, very easily do.
I mean, it's kind of like a sweet, like, love story.
Yeah.
Which,
friendship.
He has tried before, but I think he kind of nails it a little harder right here with them two.
Yeah.
And then it has great supporting characters, Craig Robinson, Jason Mewes, Jeff O'Halloran,
Tracy Lords. I fell asleep during that movie.
Oh, so you never seen it all the way through?
I haven't seen it all the way through.
Oh my gosh. Wow, you gotta see it.
Okay.
It's a good one. Okay, your number four.
My number four?
No, the person next to you. She's passed out.
Okay, I picked my movies not sort of like of conventionally of what is the great Kevin Smith movies, of more of like, it like turned my perspective of like seeing, my number four is Clerks 2.
Clerks 2.
I was not expecting much of it because it was coming out of a couple movies that he got Ding's not very good for, like, okay. A Jersey Girl, and, like, if you actually, how the time lapse between Clerks 1 and Clerks 2,
oh, yeah.
The fact that it had a fucking musical number and a goddamn donkey show on it, like, if you, like, look on it, everything on paper just seemed like it should have been a bad movie, but I loved watching it. I still love watching it. That's one of mine, like, if I'm flipping through, I want to, like, just not think and just watch a movie to, or if I'm doing stuff in the background or want to take a nap. I really liked that. It brought all the characters. It just seemed like it should have been bad of the time layups and everything that was involved in
yeah.
it. And I liked it. I did enjoy it. Nice. I liked Rosario Dawson in it. I really did.
She was good.
Yeah. I like bringing back, you know, Randall and everybody and James. I liked it.
Well, you know what? For like many of your same reasons you just listed as why you loved Clerks 2, is why my number 4 is Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Okay.
Because that...
I get that.
It's like a remake of the Muppet movie.
Okay.
Where they're just trying to get to Hollywood, and they run into everybody, and for being, what was the 5th movie of the series, I think?
Okay. I'm not sure exactly, but that sounds about right.
They had the characters from every movie, okay. They had somebody in there, and it was a great throwback. It was funny
how... I like the monkey. I like the breaking in into the, like, no, don't animal test, the hot bonds, and, yeah.
Yeah, it had, you know, Shannon Elizabeth was, you know, Jamie's little lady friend. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's my number 4, because it's just, it's fun.
It's fun. It's fun.
It's perfect for a fan of Kevin Smith movies.
Yeah.
That is the one that kind of does his whole universe all boom, boom, boom.
I can see, yeah.
And got it right there for you. I think more so than Clerks 2, in my opinion, but.
I can see that.
Okay.
But number three. I liked the introductory of the new characters, and they just seem like they fit well.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like the Clerks 2 was, like, almost set up to be bad because of other movies that it came into it. And that's the only reason. Okay. But anyways.
Yeah. All right.
No. My 3 is going to be Mallrats.
Mallrats, yeah.
Mallrats.
Hey.
It's like, that's what it was like to be in middle school in the 90s to me. And, like, Ben Affleck was such a fucking douchebag.
Now, you're younger, so when were you born?
83.
83, okay. 83. So you didn't
but
see...
But the going to the movie or the mall...
Any of these movies in
the
theater?
No.
So which was your first Kevin Smith movie you ever saw? Do you remember?
I think it was Dogma.
You think so? Okay.
I think it was Dogma.
Okay. Okay, go back to Mallrats. Mallrats
is my number 3.
Nice.
I loved all the characters, the interacting of them, what was the Jason Lee with, like, the warming his hand in the ass crack.
Oh, the chocolate.
The chocolate pretzel.
Hey, would you like a pretzel?
Didn't Stan Lee do a cameo in that?
He was in it, yeah.
Yeah, it just all of that. And Ben Affleck did such a good douchebag because he does douche so
That's
well.
True. That's true.
He does do douche well. And it was...
What, like in the back of a Volkswagen? Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
What was your three?
My number 3 was Red State.
Okay.
Because that was his, Tusk was a big jump for him, but Red State was really where he started, where he first jumped off.
From, completely off the genre.
Yeah,
actually, that's
yeah,
my number
off.
2.
Nice. Okay. So it was a crossover. Okay, cool. So yeah, Red State was awesome. It just, Michael Parks again.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking nails it.
Great bad guy.
Yeah.
And can we talk about John Goodman as the cop?
Oh, John Goodman was awesome.
He did
Hell yeah.
An awesome job in that. It was great. And another movie, what I loved about it, there was no good guys, and there was really no good, like, bad guys.
Really? Yeah, yeah.
Like, everybody's hands were dirty.
You didn't really root for these kids. You're like, oh, they're just fucking punk kids. So you didn't really root for them.
Yeah, kind of.
But, yeah.
But they have no power to really make a difference of it. They really are just puppets of anybody. So it's just, like, whoever corrals them to wherever they are if they go to live or die. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're not really an aspect of it. Hey, it's our future. It's not really even glossed over that. They're pawns because they haven't really became a person yet to decide of what they want to fight for, kind of. You know what I mean? But I loved it. But it's like, you can kind of... Everybody's good, but everybody's bad.
Yeah.
Huh. Like that of it. And, like, the people that you want are kind of root for, even if they're not starting from the wrong side. And you can see that they have good intentions, they just die. Like the 17-year-olds, the people that are on the cusp,
yeah,
on both sides of the people that are in the, it's a Westboro baptism,
well, for
versus
sure,
real world type, yeah, aspect.
For sure. It's definitely
it,
based off that. Yeah, yeah.
But you do have, I would say, two characters that you kind of want to root for. And it's the two teenagers, the blonde that are like trying, the blonde that was raised in the church that are trying to save the children.
Yeah.
Versus the 17-year-old that kind of like set up the
gag. We all die.
They all got, like there's a group of teenagers that are like, do a Craigslist post to like try to get laid for the first time in a trailer park. And that's how they use them to attract them as a church to like, these are the sinners. This is like how the world is coming to its demise, whatever. But there's one, it's three boys. There's one boy that does the balance of the good, the evil, kind of like, I'm just a young kid trying to make my way in the world.
So and
you
all kinda, die.
You kind of want to root for him.
And they all die.
They all die.
They all die.
They all die, and the people that don't die, they either they're in a tough spot to where you want to like them, and then they just make a decision to where, like, no.
Well, Michael Parks was awesome in that. That's our...
Michael Parks was
my
awesome
number three,
that.
Your number two, Red
and
States.
I really like John Goodman. Michael Parks John and John was Goodman awesome was... I love those two characters.
I thought the ending was kind of weird with the siren blamed on the college kids. That was kind of odd, but...
Me and my husband will have a discussion on that. He did not like the ending on it. He thought it was kind of a cop-out.
Yeah.
I really liked the ending of it. The ending of the demise of like a teenage prank came to the demise of like a ridiculous religious cult, which is more realistic than an actual like coming of, you know,
All right.
An apocalypse coming.
That's okay. So we get around to my number two, which is the original 1994 Clerks.
Okay.
Because that is
a good one.
That was the first one I've seen. It was, it just shocked me that someone could put this together, that
it was
just
a day of somebody's life, the dialogue. No.
Day of my life. I'm
very everyday person. Yeah.
I'm like 2 years younger than Kevin Smith, so I'm like his target audience probably, you know, he just wants people just a little younger than him because he captures this moments in the early 90s and, you know, and today it's kind of universal too. You know, everyone's going to be a fucking clerk somewhere, whether you're doing a gas station or a store or
retail.
You know, retail of some kind. But it's perfect. It's not perfect. It's a damn good movie.
A good movie.
It's not perfect. There's some lines you're like, people do not talk like this in real life.
Mm-hmm.
But
then some people do.
But what they say is pretty cool. So you just kind of let it go and say, yeah, okay, this is cool. But number two, Clerks.
I do love Clerks. It did not make my list. I do love the movie.
I think we have the same number one.
We probably do.
I think we do.
We probably do. Because, like, Clerks 2, like, I was almost expecting it to not be good because of, like, the time frame when it came out, like, all the aspects that were into it.
Yeah.
But the first Clerks is, like, if somebody already built it up to me and then they got to watch it, and it was a great movie, but I have to be in a certain mindset to watch it. Like, I go through my list of how often I watch it and over and over again. Yeah. My number one, though...
Is, okay, ready? On two. 3, 2, 1.
Dogma. It has to be. It has to be.
Oh,
is my go-to always.
For sure.
Over and over again. But, I mean, my number one and number two is definitely his struggling with religion movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but,
and I like to refer to myself as a recovering Catholic, and it kind of seems like he's kind of like that, too.
Well, you can tune into our Passion of the Christ podcast and hear me and Justin talk all about God. But, no, Dogma was awesome. It was it was something different, but it was played off. Yes, Tusk was something different, too. This was played off fucking awesomely.
Yep. And all the people that were Matt Damon and Selma Hayek, Chris Rock,
Affleck,
all the fucking
Carlin.
People that were in it. Ben Affleck was in a lot, multiple of his movies, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was kind of a little bit of a given. No, he was in Clerks 2. He's like, that's very unsanitary when they were making out on the counter.
Yes, he was,
so he did do a cameo.
Yeah,
and he starred in Chasing Amy. And he was in the Jay and Silent Bob movie. I mean, he was kind of a staple in some of his
demos. That's true.
Yeah.
That was after that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Dogma was awesome.
I love Dogma. That's one I will watch over and over and over again. And I really liked it.
It's good stuff. So that's our number one.
I'm fucking out.
All right. You know what? This show has run so long.
Well, so. The second half with just me and you hasn't gone too long.
But I smell the pizza cooking.
Yes, as there's like 30 seconds left on the pizza.
All right. Well, that sounds good.
Okay. And we do have our little buddy Christ that was from Dogma with George Collardson as well. I love Jason Lee as the demon.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking demon.
Badass. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to Drunk Film Commentary. We got drunk. Nadia is passed out, by the way, if you haven't noticed. We're missing her. She is sleeping. Nadia, you want to yell and say hi?
There's no noise coming.
She is done.
Once we put a pizza in front of her face, I think she might wake up a little bit.
Then I'm going to be ready to pass out because we're about done here, folks.
I'm doing good. I can still drink a little bit, I think.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for listening, everybody. We are Drunk Film Commentary. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, drunkfilmcommentary@yahoo.com. Yeah. We're still around. We're still kicking it. So, enjoy, people.
Will you like to mix it?
Jimmy Dean said, what do I do now? Pink elephants are running after me. Well, that stuff was smooth as silk. From now on, I'll stick to milk. Nothing else to drink for me.
My love for you is like a truck bell sucker. Would you like some making fuck bell sucker?
That's fucking funny, man.
Did he say making fuck?